If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Come on, dude. Just take one hit. Don't you want to be cool?
Smoking marijuana to blow your mind is like throwing sand in a delicate machine and hoping nothing goes wrong.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like. Slow moving, inattentive, dull, constantly snacking, shows a lack of motivation.
Now, you got...
How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
God damn it, I love pot.
Leading medical researchers are coming to the conclusion that marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug in the United States, and we haven't begun to find out all of the ill effects, but they are permanent ill effects. The loss of memory, for example.
Where the hell am I?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Roll another one.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Now I'm looking for the bomb. Now I'm finding that bomb. Now I'm loading that bomb.
Let's get out our solid gold bongs and smoke some of that kind bud for ourselves. And let's not be cool and share it with other people.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Mead Show. It's 5:33, and it's Friday, the 20th of Aprilingus.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
A little bit.
Just a little. At least where I am.
But they're saying 90% chance today throughout the day.
Yeah, they're talking about potentially some heavy rain today, right, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. So a little bit. A little bit wet.
Yep.
Maybe a few thunderstorms, we need.
So I'm driving in today, and there's a couple of drops on the windshield, but I'm a little late.
Oh, no.
I know, that's hard to
wait, believe. Is that Kevin talking?
Yeah.
You were a little late?
I know. Usually I'm 45 minutes early, but
right.
I'm a little late today, and I start speeding up a little. You know, I was going 66, and then there was a cop car in the left lane.
Ooh.
So everybody, as you know in Southern California, when you see a cop car, everybody goes 40 on the freeway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just want to make sure that they don't get pulled over. So I'm thinking to myself, I can't tell. It's not Highway Patrol. So if it's not Highway Patrol, will they pull me over?
We've had that question before.
Yeah.
You're trying to think which cops can give you a ticket and which cops you can just blow on by. They can't do a thing.
Now, if I remember correctly, I think they can give you a ticket, but they don't usually.
Because it's a pain. But that's what I heard, too. That's what I recall. They can.
So I kept my speed, you know, just barely right at the speed limit because that's what I do. And I got closer and closer, and then I saw that it was a canine unit.
Nice.
Okay.
Mm.
So then I thought,
Which way
does that go? I don't know. To me, that goes against pulling you over. You don't see a canine out there on the street usually.
Right.
So then I thought, well, I can't. And then as I pulled up next to him, I saw airport in tiny little letters above giant police. And I stepped on it. Stepped right on it.
Boom.
And gave him the finger as you went on by.
Just stepped right on it. Swerved into him, tried to run him off the road. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, those guys can't pull you over, right? He was on his way to work, clearly.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine you're in any danger there. That sounds pretty safe.
Airport police safe. Canine? How do you guys read that one?
I think canine. I think it doesn't matter if there's a dog in
no
the car.
Difference.
If the guy can pull you over, it doesn't matter whether he has a dog or not.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean all dog units can pull you over. But I would imagine it wouldn't if they could anyway. I don't think the dog would stop him. I mean, the dog's fine in the back of the car. You know,
somebody's listening that works for our fine police force. Give us a call and let us know the ropes on that one.
When can Kevin break the law and when can't he? That's what we need to know.
No, not break. Bend.
Let me ask you this, guys.
95.
What about, and I know it's unlikely you'd be crossing the county line, but what about if you're, you know, in one of those areas that's kind of between, say, Orange County and Los Angeles County? If you, you know, can get over the line, do you then leave the other county police behind in the dusk and they do nothing to you if you get past that line?
No way. No, I doubt it. I mean,
they don't just have jurisdiction in their own county?
I don't know, but they got radios, so they call ahead.
Oh, yeah, they can call somebody else.
Wait a minute. They can talk to each other?
They can. And so, yeah, unless you're like just, you know, a mile from the county line, they have so radioed ahead.
And, yeah, if you're burning through Orange County and a cop's behind you and you all of a sudden cruise into, like, unincorporated area, he's like, doesn't slam on the brakes, go, oh, God.
He got away.
That happens in the movies.
Yeah, it does. Exactly. That's the only thing I know is what I see on TV. You know that.
If he's on lunch in a totally separate city and outside, he can pull you over and do anything you want. I mean, he's a police officer first.
If he's at lunch, he could pull me over on the freeway?
I'm saying that
it seems bogus.
They're not restricted to the city they work in or the county they work in. There.
All right. What about states? What if you're on your way to Las Vegas and you're able to zip through California and get onto the Nevada side? Then what is the California Highway Patrol? What jurisdiction do they have if you're already over the line?
Now, I personally know that they can follow you because of a caller we had when we talked about high-speed chases. Remember, went from here in L.A. into Glendale, Arizona, all the way to Glendale. The girl called. Remember, she was trapped in the car with her boyfriend in a high-speed chase.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was California Highway Patrol that followed them the whole way. But along the way, Arizona tagged on. But
your ass is his, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, once your ass is his, your ass is his.
Right.
All right. Well, this is important. We got to know these distinctions. We have to know exactly what to do.
I have to chime in here real quick. Sorry, but I have a bigger problem than the cop, whether or not the airport cop can pull you over. I had kind of the same thing happened to me today where I'm burning down the freeway to get to work.
And by burning, you mean 70.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I'm going the 110, so anything's fast, you know, on the 110.
Yeah.
So I'm I see a guy behind me now that I assume is a cop.
Right.
And I'm like, crap. So I slow down and I'm driving north. And after, you know, miles and miles of going slower than I should be, pulls up. It's one of those cabs with, like, the cab sign on top that looks exactly like a police bar.
They can pull you over.
That's crap.
Cabs can pull you over. That's true. I heard that.
You want to talk to the Hot Fuzz on the line? We got Mark from Northridge.
See what he did? Because Hot Fuzz is coming out today.
Yeah, today's the day.
Mark, good morning.
Mark, hey, what's going on, people?
So you're a police officer. Now, I'm driving this morning, and I see the cop car, and then it says... you know, airport at the barely above it. He's not going to pull me over, right?
If it would have been just a regular airport guy, then more than likely, yeah, he would pull you over.
He would.
He'd never get into anything. Yeah, because those guys have a boring job, yeah?
No, but an airport police, if you see a car that says airport police, they are actual real police officers. They're not like glorified security guards?
Well, no, police officers have to do everything everybody else could do, but except because it was a canine cop, those guys usually have about 15 years on the job, almost 20. And they'll just give, you know,
they don't care.
The line, but yeah, they don't care.
Okay. Oh, I see.
But they can, though. They can pull you over. I mean, they have the jurisdiction, right?
Yeah, they can.
But it's more likely that the police dog, the canine unit, won't.
Yeah, because they really don't really care. The problem you get on the freeway is the chippies are going to want to pull you over because that's their bread and butter right there. That's how they make their money.
Right.
You know, if you get like a big agency cop, like I'm from a big agency in LA, I'm not going to mention which one.
Right.
Okay.
More than likely. If you're on the way home, because sometimes people have take-home cars, they're not going to pull you over. Or they might just flash the light and, you know, give you the nod or, you know, wave their fist in the air and keep on going.
And that means I'm on my way home, but slow down, a-hole.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But you get a small agency, like, you know, those guys have boring jobs. They don't really get into anything, so they're going to want to show off or have a little more power trip, you know?
Okay, so let me make sure I'm understanding what you're saying here, Mark. So if you're driving through, let's say, Hawaiian Gardens, which we love to mention because it's the most hilariously named place in Southern California.
Yeah.
No place is less Hawaiian Gardens than Hawaiian Gardens. If you're driving through there, if there's a Hawaiian Gardens police officer, that's a big deal for them. That's fun for them to pull you over, right? They're more likely to do it because they can.
You know, any other city, yeah, but those guys are patrolled by the county. So, you know, they also, they really don't care either, you know?
The county doesn't care either, so the sheriff doesn't care?
Yeah, well, those guys, they've been in the jails for 5 years working there, you know, hating life. And when they finally get out, they got to go to probation again.
This is depressing.
Older, so they really don't care.
No, it's not depressing. It's awesome.
So only young cops care enough to pull you over is what you're telling us. After you've been young on the job a few years, you don't care.
From small, also, if you're in the Valley, you're going to get pulled over more than like. If you're in South Central, you're more likely not going to get pulled over for speeding. You know, it's, it depends on what you got in the area. You might have some stuff that's more important than a ticket, you know?
All right, I see. All right, one more question for you, Mark, and we're glad you called. What about the issue of jurisdiction in terms of, say, counties? Is there anything to that? Can you cross a county line and still pull somebody over if you're a county cop?
Yeah, that doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter at all.
The motorcycle cops, all those guys take their bikes home.
Right.
So when they're going home, they could live in Riverside or San Bernardino, and they must pull over DUIs.
Well,
that's
sure.
Like a must from the, you know, that if you don't, you get in trouble.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
DUIs.
Of course. That makes sense.
I can see that, yeah. Wait a minute. Right, one last question. One last question, and that is taxi cabs. Can they pull you over?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay.
Hey, let's hook the officer up with some Afrocentric porn, because I understand we got a big box of new black porn in the office. Would you like some black porn, Mark?
You know what? I'm really into the black porn.
Okay, then.
Okay, excellent. So we're going to hook you up, then. We're going to hook you up. Hold on. Fantastic. Glad you called, sir. Thank you.
All right. I'm less clear than I was when I came in, I think.
Apparently, anyone can pull you
anyone
over.
Anyone that wants to.
I could pull you over.
Yes.
But it seems like what Mark was saying, and this isn't going to help us because we can't, you know, read a cop like he can. But if a guy's been on the job long enough, he doesn't care. He's just behind the wheel waiting for a pension. That's all that's going on there.
Yeah. There's two
He's
other
not
cops
go out of his way.
Two other policemen that that called, both of them saying that any police officer can pull you over anywhere.
Okay.
So
all right.
Good to know.
I should not have blown by the airport police, then,
no.
Is what we're saying.
You're lucky to be here.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's 4:20, of course.
Yes.
Yay.
Lisa.
I'm so excited.
And ready for brownies?
In celebration of that, we have Kate Beckinsale.
Oh,
half hour from now. She
okay.
stars in the new movie Vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
She's
the best.
Well, she's awesome. Yeah, she's yeah. unbelievable. She's one of those like perfect packages, just charming and pretty and funny and delightful and a good actress. She's got it all going on.
Not to mention his odd.
Way his odd.
Right? We also have the stars of Hot Fuzz, Edgar, Simon, and Nick. They're going to be in the studio today.
Cool.
All
We're
right.
excited about that. Dave Duchovny on the program.
Love
Dave.
Talking about his new movie, The TV Set.
Yeah.
I bought the Not Just the Best of the Larry Sanders DVD came out this
can't week,
wait
for
which
that.
Is like 25 or 23 episodes or something like that. And there's tons of new stuff where Gary Shandling goes back and interviews his friends that were on the show. So there's a whole extra scene of Gary interviewing Dave Duchovny and talking about how they came up with that whole storyline about how he's not gay, but he's really into Larry and how uncomfortable Larry was. And I watched the episode and the extra last night. And that Duchovny, he's a terrific comedic actor.
He is.
And,
very funny.
You got to get that Larry Sanders, though. I mean, you watch that show and you remember how great it was, because we haven't really seen anything like it since.
Also, Mark Cronin and Chris Abrego, who are the producers, creators of Charm School.
Oh, good.
Along with The Surreal Life, My Fair Brady, Flavor of Love, I Love New York, Strange
wow.
Love,
They've
all of those shows.
They've been entertaining us like crazy.
There are people right there.
Genius.
No kidding.
Movie Beat today, German Butt Psychic, and Coachella 3-day passes coming up today in the 7 o'clock hour as we celebrate 420 here on K-Rock. The Showbiz Beat is...
It's kind of a miracle that this show gets on the air every day, isn't it? When you really think about it, if you saw how sloppy it is behind the scenes, you'd be stunned that anything
sloppy.
Comes out of the speakers most of the time.
This is super organized, is what this is.
We are professionals.
All right, where's Ralph Garman, first of all? Isn't it Showbiz Beat time? What's going on?
Well, he's in Philadelphia, and he's sick, in quotations.
Oh, like Lisa was sick, in quotations, last Friday. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Do you think
can't get anyone to work a full week?
He's hooking up with a Dutch couple, too?
No.
No? Oh, all right.
I think
maybe
he's...
So. They're pretty great.
I think he's still drinking, is my guess.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, well, we'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat. There's so much great stuff going on today. My favorite story, and if you haven't heard about this, I think you're going to love it. There's a real sensitivity this week. By the way, so glad to see this crappy weekend. This week in April every year, as we mentioned earlier in the week, this is your Columbine anniversary is today. Columbine High School closed today. It's the anniversary. Happened back in 1999. It's the Waco anniversary. It's the Oklahoma City anniversary. And now for all time, it's going to be the anniversary of the Virginia Tech Massacre. All of that happened on this same week in April in history. So we're very glad to see this weekend. I'll tell you that.
It has to be a coincidence, doesn't it?
Taxes.
No.
It's taxes.
Some people do think that has something to do with it. It's not a coincidence for some of them. Some of the people, like I think Oklahoma City picked it because it was the anniversary of Waco, for instance, because the guy was pissed at the government because of what they did at Waco. You know, that was part of his motive. So, yeah, it's not a coincidence.
Well, what about this one, for example? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, he did like Columbine, right?
He did, yeah. I mean, he looked up to those Columbine guys, so who knows if it had anything to do with it. But there's evil in the air today. There's a real sensitivity to violence and how we handle it. And that's why the timing of this piece on 60 Minutes this Sunday is particularly interesting. You guys know the rapper Cameron? You heard him. He's not a big, big star, but he's had a number of songs on the radio.
Cameron,
right. He is being interviewed by Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes this Sunday night. I don't know why they picked him, but Anderson Cooper asked him, you know, about the culture of violence in the rap community. Mm-hmm. And Cameron says this: if I knew a serial killer was living next door to me, I wouldn't call and tell anybody on him, but I'd probably move. But I'm not going to call and be like the serial killers in 4E. He says that rap's code of ethics also extends to crimes committed against him. Apparently, in the past, he was shot and wounded by a gunman, would not cooperate with the police. Why? Because it would definitely hurt my business. That's the way I was raised. I just don't do that.
Wow.
Anderson Cooper continues to press the rapper, but he turns the table and says, then again, you, talking to Anderson Cooper, are not going to be on stage tonight in the middle of, say, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, with people with gold and platinum teeth and dreadlocks jumping up and down singing your songs either. We're in two different lines of business. So he says, this is the code of the rap world. You just don't snitch on people. Even if it's a serial killer living next door and you know about it, you don't tell anybody about it.
I think you would think serial killer would come under a different category. Wouldn't you?
I guess, yeah.
Then guys and gangs and stuff.
Well,
you would hope.
Meanwhile, Don Imus fired, okay? Yeah. This guy got all the career in the world, working as much as he wants to work. Don Imus out of work. But isn't that something?
Yeah, that's bizarre. That's really weird.
I mean, you would sure hope that, you know, somebody, I mean, you know, nobody did, but if somebody had a glint of what was going to happen in Virginia Tech this week, that somebody would have dropped a dime on the dude. You know what I mean? You don't want people saying, he's a serial killer, but he's not going to kill me, so it's cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of info seems to be sneaking out about Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise.
Ooh, tell me.
Well, she apparently is getting back to her life after a couple of years under his thumb. She's in Louisiana filming Mad Money.
Mm-hmm.
And rumor has it she's been trying to make amends with her family, trying to reconnect with old friends, trying to secretly get back into the Catholic religion.
Really?
There's just a lot of smoke there.
Well, she, I mean, famously cut off contact with virtually everyone in her life when she, you know, got under the Tom Cruise spell. I mean, all of her friends were saying, we just don't see her anymore. It's almost like she's not allowed to.
Yeah, that's sad.
They did send a handler to the set to be with her.
The Scientologist handler?
Yeah. She always has someone with her.
I thought that was over,
well,
no?
Well, I read it.
Well, that must be
true. Who knows if it's true, but...
This is great news. You, especially Psycho Mike, are going to love this. Apparently, somebody hacked into Lindsay Lohan's MySpace page.
Yeah.
And got a lot of stuff to broadcast all over the internet. Basically, you know, private correspondence, emails with Lindsay Lohan and people now are available for us to read. We can ask Harvey Levin about that. I think we're talking to him later on today. Lipstick.com breaks the story that, you know, there's one note of her telling Stavros Miarchalis, the Greek shipping heir, to F you. There's also correspondence back and forth with Shanna Mokler, the former Miss USA, who was married to Travis Barker from Blink 182. Apparently Travis was friends with Lindsay and was writing back and forth to her, you know, through the MySpace account. And, you know, Shanna Mokler basically was writing, calling her a whore, accusing her of sleeping with other women's men.
Good
going
times.
On and on. It's like a catfight online.
Wow, that's fantastic.
We'll be hearing more about that, I'm sure. But Lindsay brings a lot of it on herself. But I got to feel bad for somebody who now, you know, has got to worry about her emails getting, you know, blasted all over the world just because they're famous.
Unless she just sent them out herself.
Hmm.
You know, get
I
some
don't
press.
Think there's any. I don't think Lindsay needs more press. I'm sorry.
Good point.
The custody battle between Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger is really one of the legendary ones in Hollywood. It's been going on for how long? It seems like 5 years, doesn't it?
Yeah. Catch us up on how the ugliness has kind of gone back and forth.
Well, it's just they just trash each other all the time. They've got this daughter who's now 11 named Ireland, and they both wanted custody of it, and they're both going to court and fighting for custody. Both, you know, have just said the most horrible things conceivable about the people that they used to be married to, about how they're completely unfit to raise a child, and the child shouldn't be anywhere near. And so far, it's kind of a joint situation where they, you know, they kind of split it half and half, and they're not happy with that. That's not good enough for either one of them. They continue to fight for sole custody. Well, Alec Baldwin, in bad shape right now, a judge has suspended his visitation rights altogether when somehow TMZ.com broke a story of a tape of an answering machine message that Alec left for his daughter. They had a scheduled phone call, and she didn't answer. Answering machine picked up. Alec Baldwin goes ballistic. I can't wait to find out how TMZ got this. I mean, how do you get someone's personal answering machine message like this?
Well, apparently the judge heard it, so that I mean, maybe that's the process that it got out.
Yeah, maybe Kim brought it in and said, this is the way, this is the kind of guy he is. And by the way, this breaks my heart, A, because I hate to see the kid in the middle of this being pulled back and forth by her parents. But, you know, Alec Baldwin's at the best spot in his career ever right now. I mean, he's just, I mean, he's a genius on that 30 Rock show.
Yeah.
And people love him. And now this. But here's a taste of it. We'll play some more later for you.
I've made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time.
That's talking to his 11-year-old. Very angry that she's not answering the phone.
Wow, she's 11.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a little taste. It's about a minute and a half. He goes on and on and on. We'll talk to Harvey about it a little bit later on this
morning.
I mean,
that's the way you scream at a kid when she does just something terrible that endangers her life. She just had her phone off.
Yeah, like running out into traffic. Don't ever do that again.
Exactly.
This is not picking up the phone.
Didn't answer the phone.
Oh.
And let me do one more because I love this. We've been hearing for some time about the feud between Ozzy's wife, Sharon Osbourne, and Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Sure.
And he has previously said in an interview with Blender Magazine that he'd never take part in another Ozfest because the bands aren't treated well. He doesn't want to have anything to do with the Osbournes. Sharon bites back in NME.com. She says she hopes that Josh, quote, gets syphilis and dies.
Oh.
Also, she hopes that his penis falls off so that his mother could eat it.
What?
Sharon, ladies and gentlemen, a delicate little flower, isn't she?
Oh, that's a beautiful sentiment, isn't it?
How fantastic is that?
That's scary. You have celebrity birthdays, or do we just go right to Kate Beckinsale?
Well, I'm eager to get to Kate, but let me mention a couple because there actually are some great ones today. Soul legend Isaac Hayes, 65 years old today. Star Trek's and Heroes George Takei.
Oh.
Psycho Mike, your new best friend,
Mr.
Sulu, is 67 years old today.
Wow.
Who'd ever thought, by the way, he's the last guy I would expect his career to rebound.
And he looks great for that age, by the
looks
way.
Looks fantastic, how about Carmen Electra, ladies and gentlemen, 35 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
Only yes.
Andy Serkis, you remember he was Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies, and our old friend Crispin Glover, one of the strangest people in the world, both turned 43 years old today. And finally, the reason we really celebrate today. I mean, I know it's 420 and it's a big deal and all, but ladies and gentlemen, Joey Lawrence, 31 years old today.
Come on.
Yay.
Joey Lawrence.
Woo. Huge celebration coming up.
And that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
All right, we have Kate Beckinsale. You guys know how that is. You know how that ends, right?
So you're in a hurry is what you're saying.
I'm saying you know how that song ends already.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's already a holiday because it's 420 here in the United States of America. But what could make it better than the lovely Kate Beckinsale back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock with a new film called Vacancy, opening up everywhere today. Kate, I want you to know we have a little calendar and we just count down the days between your appearances on our show. Welcome.
Oh, that's so nice. Hi, how are you?
Very good.
How you been? You all right?
Good, busy.
Yeah, it's funny because I've seen some interviews that you've done to talk about the Vacancy movie, and it sounds like whenever you do an interview, and maybe this is the case today too, you're calling like in a break while you're filming another movie. You're trying to make them so fast that you don't have any time off in between.
It has been a bit like that this year. I've actually been doing two movies at the same time, which I didn't even know was possible.
Oh my gosh.
Were you aware that that was going to happen, or?
No, it just kind of figured out that way. I was doing a movie called Winged Creatures in L.A. I was doing Whiteout first, which is the movie I'm currently shooting, and then we stopped doing that, and I went off and did Winged Creatures, and then I came back and did Whiteout.
I gotcha.
Wow.
Whiteout is the one you're...
I through the W's.
Yeah. is Whiteout, is that the one where you're playing a police officer or something like that?
Yeah, federal marshal.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because I think one of the reasons little boys and girls want to grow up to be actors is because they just love to play and pretend to be other people. Do you still get a thrill out of being a new person every 6 months?
I really do. And my husband's digging it as well because I get to change my hair color.
Sure.
you know, he gets like five different wives.
I got to tell you, though, I've seen a lot of federal marshals, and they don't look like you,
no,
it turns
hardly
out.
Hardly ever.
That's
well,
not...
we're in the Antarctic. They only send a particular type out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Listen to that voice, you guys.
I know.
And then picture in your mind where that voice is coming from. It's coming out of Kate Beckinsale. My God.
Down boy.
Now, Vacancy, you've done the romantic comedies, and you've done, the big action movies, of course. You're probably most, I would say at this point, you're probably most famous for things like Underworld. But this is way different for you, right? And way different for Luke Wilson, for the type of movie he usually does.
Yeah, it really is for him, absolutely. This is a real thriller horror movie. I like to try and get a chance to do as many different kinds of things as I can. I like to do the independent dramas and the romantic comedies and then get the guns out again. I feel really lucky I get to do a little bit of everything.
I think if my car, at this point after these movies, if my car broke down in the middle of nowhere, I would just shoot myself.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you're not going to live.
The thing I like about this movie is that there's really no choice for them. You know, they're stuck in the car, the cell phone signal is gone, they can't call AAA. You can't really stay in a creepy car on a creepy road. So I guess you do go find a motel, and you know, it's not one of those movies where you're thinking, oh my god, why don't you just stay upstairs?
Right, sure. Hey, there's a Four Seasons next door. Why did you choose that one?
Exactly, go there.
And what's really interesting, and I think we have a clip we're going to play here in a second, but what's really interesting is that your character and Luke Wilson's character are estranged, right? I mean, it's already a little bit of a tense road trip anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the movie really starts out with you're kind of, you know, you're in the car with these people who are at the end of their marriage, and it's kind of uncomfortable anyway, just from that. So I thought that was kind of a neat way to start the movie.
So you guys start watching TV, and then you realize that what you're watching is violence.
It's basically kind of movies of people being sort of attacked and tortured and murdered, and then we realize it's happening in the room that we're in.
In the room that you're in.
Ooh,
yeah.
Dude.
That's
so creepy.
So here's the clip. You're watching TV, and you're asking David, Luke Wilson's character, what he's watching.
It's not enough that they rob and kill these people. They want to watch it, too.
Why are you watching them?
Looking for mistakes. They can come in anytime they want. They just watch until they get bored. See? Right there. It happens in almost every one of these. It's the bathroom.
We can't go in there. We don't know what's in there.
We don't have any choice.
We don't have any choice.
There's
a lot of whispering.
Creepy. What about shooting most of the movie essentially in the same room? Is that kind of weird to go back over and over and over again to that motel room every day for work?
It was a little bit. I mean, yeah, it was the same room, and there was one other. Usually it was just Luke and me, you know, as well. We got weirdly overexcited when the murderers would come in and chase us around the parking lot.
Hey, other people, fantastic.
Yeah. I don't mind if you have a huge knife. Just chase me around a little bit.
I know you might kill me, but I sure miss the human contact.
Exactly.
Hey, Kate, what about the rats? Isn't there a part of this movie where you guys are behind a wall or something like that, and you had to spend several days filming around rats?
It was a couple days. We get into a tunnel under the motel, and I'm a little claustrophobic, so I spent all my time worrying that I was going to freak out in the tunnel, and then I didn't really worry that they were going to throw in, you know, 100 real rats.
And you mean your character, or you in real life? You're a little bit claustrophobic.
I'm not a fan of a really enclosed space,
right?
But you know, and then I didn't really think about the rats, and I think Luke was a little more nervous about the rats.
Well, you had rats in your hair and the whole deal, like all over you, right?
I had rats, yeah. But you know what? They were Hollywood rats.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. What the hell's the difference?
Well, I come from England. We had rats in my mom's house one time.
Right, but were they in your hair?
The size of a small wolf. I'd take your leg off. These ones are obviously on the zone diet.
I see. Yeah. And they had a trainer who could call them off?
They had a train. They all had, like, highlights. They were very nice.
Nice. That's nice.
There is actually a rat wrangler. That's his job, the guy that comes out and makes the rats.
Well, my daughter came to the set, and she wanted to take one of the rats. So we all had just kind of a Stockholm Syndrome situation going on. I started loving the rats.
Wow.
Okay, Kate's lost it, people. Nobody loves rats.
Well, the movie, there seems to be an endless appetite for horror movies in America. The last couple of years, it's just been a real renaissance of the genre. You know, you used to go, you know, you get one or two a year, but now it seems like every weekend, and there's an audience for all of them. And people love to be scared. And this one looks very, very creepy, very realistic, and very scary, Kate. I think you're going to do well with this one.
Thank you so much.
Now, one last question, and that is, when preparing, sometimes actors and actresses like to live through whatever with whoever. So you went to a hotel that had hidden cameras?
I did, yes, and you'll be receiving the tape.
Excellent.
That's what exactly what Kevin was hoping to hear.
All right. Good enough for me. I'm done.
Vacancy opens up everywhere today. Please go see it and support our friend Kate Beckinsale. Let's get out a new calendar and start counting down the days till the next day we have her on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Remember when we took this song seriously?
Dude, how great is this song? It's awesome.
Afro Man, Kevin and Bean Show, Because I Got High, 22 minutes after 6, and it is 4:20.
You know, it's funny because for the longest time we've said 4:20 should be a holiday and you ought to just call in sick and smoke out for the day. Apparently Ralph Garman heard us say that, took our advice. Hey, it's 4:20. I'm not going to work. But last year, guys, was maybe the best 4:20 ever on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've had some great ones in the past. Unfortunately, we were not able to work out a live broadcast this year. We did talk about it. We almost had it nailed down, but it kind of fell apart at the last minute. Remember the one we did with Be Real from Cypress Hill? We did a live broadcast with Be Real. And we were at a restaurant, I think, down in Hermosa or something like
Hermosa
that.
Hermosa Beach.
And I think the manager of the place ended up calling the cops on us because Be Real would not stop smoking a spliff.
Well, it was the size of a telephone pole.
Yeah, it was. The biggest joint I've ever seen in my life.
It was like a comedy joint.
That was a little bit of a crimp in that 4:20 celebration. And last year on 4:20, we were here in the studio, and Lisa May provided a great deal of entertainment for us on the day.
Oh, I'm so glad that you all were entertained.
And now the Kevin and Bean Players recreate last year with Lisa May. Now, last year we had some brownies, and I'm not saying there was anything extra in them. I'm just saying they were brownies.
They were extra moist.
Yes. That's Sister Producer Alex, who was also here.
An intern was supposed to consume a brownie.
Oh, that's right. We were going to
intern ever.
That was the intern who said he's never been able to get high.
Right.
He's tried, but it's just never worked ever. So we said, well, this is the time for you, and this is going to be perfect. Yes, Psycho Mike.
I can play the part of Puya if you'd like.
Okay, good.
Puya,
Okay, and now Puya, called the night before or the morning of?
He called me the night before, left a message at like 10 o'clock, and then called the morning of, and left a very lame excuse. Kind of right, you know, I think the best excuse was, hey, I have to go to China. I can't come into work.
That was good.
Yeah.
From another intern, yeah.
And he calls with personal reasons.
Puya,
what
were your personal reasons why you couldn't?
Because you guys, the brownies are not unleavened bread, and it's Passover.
Oh,
it's Passover.
Right.
I can't eat the bread and the brownies. It's unleavened, and because I'm a Jew.
And we were like, really?
So you can consume narcotics.
Yeah.
He's not right.
He had no problem with the pot. It was the brownie part.
Yeah.
That was
no,
bad.
No, don't get it. It's against my religion. I can't have that bread.
Well, we didn't want to waste maybe the best brownie recipe in America. So somehow Lisa May got volunteered to try it.
Being the trooper that I am, I said,
oh,
I'll have a little
bit. Wow. You're a hell of a trooper.
We nudged her over that edge because I was like, come on, open them with me.
And I'm telling you, I have not had good experiences in the past, hence my hesitation.
So we cut off the end of the brownie, and we gave it to Lisa, and she ate it. And about, I don't know, a half hour, 40 minutes later, she was looking at me, and she just was like, I don't feel anything.
Right.
So
I suspected there wasn't really anything in the brownies, and you guys were just doing like the placebo thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'd be like, yeah, I do feel something, and then you'd make fun of me.
So I said, great, have another bite. And she said, okay, and she had another bite. Now, that may have been the problem.
Wrong idea. Because I had taken my brownie and left in the office and having a good time with Lightning.
Yeah.
Not in here, not able to supervise Lisa to tell her that this special brownie recipe, you don't want to eat too much.
So this is about, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. And then during the 9 o'clock showbiz, we're going to have Psycho Mike now be Lisa May. It hit her like she ran into a wall, like instantly hit her.
So it was nothing, 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 right. Nothing,
yes.
Nothing, nothing, and then everything.
Yes.
Right during the showbiz, she stands up and she looks at Mike and I and she says, I've got to go. And the look on her face was that she was going to die within seconds. So Alex, who's also having a good time at this point, kind of takes over.
I see her crawling through the hallway past her office. And Lightning and I look at her, and I'm thinking, oh, Lisa having fun? And Lightning's like,
no.
Because I was having fun.
Right.
And Lightning's like, I think she's throwing up. So she now
something's wrong.
She now barricades herself in the bathroom. She
locks herself in.
Locks herself in.
Mm-hmm.
And Lightning and I are standing outside, like trying to break the door down, trying to walk her out.
I'm on the floor. of the bathroom, which is gross if you know our bathrooms. And I never did throw up. I thought I needed to, but nothing.
So people
would
are walking by, and Lightning and Alex are banging on the door of the women's room.
And then she like opens the door. We just kind of leave her in there, thinking, okay, she'll have some water, she'll be fine. And then she opens the door, crawls back out, and goes, guys, guys, I can't breathe.
Something's really wrong here.
You better call 911. I think I need an ambulance.
And I'm doing this. Everything's fine.
Everything's funny to you. So they go outside, and apparently you were holding her in your arms.
Well, she was rocking me.
Anyone who knows what it's like to be having a good time, to be high on life, and your buddy is not.
You
walk a fine line because you want to still enjoy yourself, but then your friend is ruining your high.
It's funny because Lisa so thought she was going to die, and Alex was just angry because she was a buzzkill.
I know. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So we went outside, and we got her some air, and we got her some water, and she was now getting the sweaty skin, and her pupils are getting dilated, And
it went on forever. Yeah. It would not stop.
She was rocking back and forth in the fetal position, and I was like kind of patting her back, but not really wanting
to get involved. Because you didn't care, yeah.
I was annoyed. I was like, I heard,
tell me if this is true, that at one point Lisa was wrapped around a palm tree in the parking lot. Like she was hugging it, like laying on the ground, hugging a palm tree.
There's nothing like being out in the parking lot, high on life. And everyone from K-Rock is now pulling in, our general sales manager, people who have to dress in like a 3-piece suit, to make sure our show gets on the air.
Yeah.
And they're walking by like, is everything okay? And I'm kind of cradling Lisa like, it's fine, don't die. Because I don't want to explain this to them.
No.
Crazy morning show hygiene.
Yeah, hi, we're just doing our jobs. Please ignore us.
Just sleeping.
Yeah. So, Lisa, I guess eventually you make your way back into the building and then you sleep on a couch somewhere, right?
Slept
in Amy's office or something.
Till 1.
For a couple of hours,
right.
Yeah.
Because I went down there to check on her, and it looked like she was out. And I talked to Amy for a little bit, and Amy came out, and we talked a little bit. And Lisa told me later that she could hear every word. She just couldn't move.
I did.
Wow.
I was totally conscious.
Dave and I go down there before we go home after the show, and Lisa is dead on the couch. I mean, she's just KO'd. And it was like Johnny's Got His Gun, the Dalton Trumbo novel, where the guy can... He's alive, but he can't move, see, hear, or speak.
Can't respond to anything.
Yeah, and she's lying just lifeless on the couch. And Dave and I are looking at each other, and he says, should we wake her up? Should we say something to her? Should we touch her? I'm like, I don't know, dude. What do you think? Is she okay? I don't know. Do you think we should call 911? She doesn't seem to be breathing. And, we're looking back and forth. Like, Dave and I have some type of, medical insight. And we're just standing there. We stood there for, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, just staring at Lisa, discussing whether or not we should touch her.
Yeah.
And then finally we're like, yeah.
And then you decided to, and you did.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Yep, you're right.
That's what I'm... And K-Rock, right now, though, let's bring our pal Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com back on the air here at the world-famous K-Rock, breaking another big story around the world. Hey, Harvey. How you doing, man?
He's not there?
That's my bad.
There we go. There's Harvey. Sorry about that. We had a problem on this end. How you doing, Harvey?
I'm good. Hey, listen, before we start, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
Kevin, I listened to the thing about driving on the freeway and having the police car from LAX.
Right.
I think your bigger problem than jurisdiction was probably a pot-sniffing dog.
That's a good point, Harvey.
There was a canine unit. That's true.
Especially on 420. Don't let any canine units pull you over. That's excellent advice, Harvey. Listen, we love to have you on, and we love to laugh and yuck about all the celebrities and the foolish things that they do. This story, though, because a little girl is caught in the middle of it, because there's an 11-year-old who has parents as crazy as Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, this one really hurts, doesn't it, Harvey?
Yeah, I mean, it is gut-wrenching, and I have to tell you, this is something we thought a long time about before saying we're going to go with it, but I will tell you, I think Ireland, based on how we got it and all sorts of things, I think Ireland is okay with this coming out.
Who are your sources?
Not going to say.
All right.
But Kim Basinger is the one who brought the tape to the attention of the judge, right?
Well, they did go. They did go to court on Wednesday, and I can tell you that we know the judge listened to that tape, and based on that and other evidence, the judge suspended Alec Baldwin's visitation and any contact temporarily with Ireland. And there's going to be a big hearing on May 4th, where the judge is going to decide whether that should be a permanent restriction.
Now, this is one of those contentious situations where they've been fighting for 5-6 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe the nastiest Hollywood divorce. I mean, they never got divorced. You know, like a lot of people, you know, get divorced and move on with their life. Just
right.
because you have a piece of paper that says you're divorced doesn't mean you are emotionally.
Right.
And this has just gotten hotter and hotter and hotter. I mean, he's filed police reports against her saying that she kidnapped the kid when he was supposed to have visitation rights. It has just been so torturous to the point where, you know, and we reported this once, so, you know, I'm not really divulging a new confidence, but, you know, Ireland was getting some professional help because of all of this, and Alec went into court and was arguing that the psychologist was pro-Kim, and one of the psychologists changed. So it's just been unbelievable.
Let me ask you this, Harvey, since you've been following this story for so long, and let me see if I can phrase this properly. Do you think that each parent really does have the best interest of the kid in mind, and that's why they're doing what they're doing, or is it just coming from a place of how much they hate their ex-spouse?
You know, I really don't want to start trashing parents in the middle of all of this, but, you know, at a point, when you look at what Alec was saying and listen to it, you know, he can't help but get Kim in there saying, your mother doesn't care about you, and you make me feel like you know what. That doesn't feel like it's for the kid, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, Harvey, I am still disturbed that this is a phone message to a little girl, but, I mean, she's going to get older, and do you think at this age I know you say that she wants it released. Isn't she going to get older and really regret this decision, though, at some point?
This little girl has, you know, let me tell you why not. You know, and I saw this in the David Hasselhoff divorce as well, that sometimes when people get so crazy, I mean, when Alec Baldwin would do something like this, sometimes when all of a sudden he has to look at himself and other people and say, what have I done? It lowers the volume.
Right.
So I think in some ways the opposite, that now Alec Baldwin is going to think twice before doing this again.
That it's putting a mirror up for
him.
Yeah,
I mean, I think in a big, big way.
Now, for those that don't know the story, Harvey, set up the phone call and why he called.
Here's what happened. Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin have been fighting over the contact that Alec has with Ireland. And Kim's lawyer, Neil Hirsch, a big celebrity lawyer, has gone into court and really stood his ground for Kim and basically said, look, we will give you access. And Alec is saying, you've been violating my right to have contact with a kid. So he's allowed certain regular phone calls where he can call Ireland up, talk to her, and she wasn't accepting his calls.
Right.
Because of all that was going on. And he apparently left somewhere to make that phone call on April 11th, and she just had her voicemail on, and he went ballistic.
And here's what that sounded like.
I made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go and I make that phone call at 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and if you don't pick up the phone, at 10 o'clock at night, and you don't even have that goddamn phone turned on.
Okay, now, she's 11?
She's 11, right.
That's the headline for me.
Oh.
I want you to know something, okay? I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being. I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old or 11 years old.
That's my favorite part.
Yep.
However, listen, however old you are.
Right.
That seems bad.
Your child is not insulting you.
Yeah. Well,
that's just insane.
Maybe your child doesn't want to talk to you. I mean, maybe.
Oh, this
I mean,
is
maybe.
So sad.
So then he goes on, like, that's not enough.
Or that you're a child, or that your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do as far as I'm concerned. You have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. And when I come out there next week, I'm going to fly out there for the day just to straighten you out. I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like shit, and you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th,
to meet with me, so I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are.
Oh,
you are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
I bet she's really looking forward to daddy time today.
Oh, my God.
I bet she can't wait.
That's today, the 20th, he was talking about, right? But now the judge says he can't do it. Right.
It sounds so threatening.
It does.
Just chilling. And,
it's
and
chilling.
When you listen to it, who's he madder at, Kim or Ireland?
Oh, Kim, clearly.
Well, for starters, his wife's got an Oscar, and that's got to destroy him, for starters. But he does, he sounds like, that sounds like a scene out of Glengarry Glen Ross, when he comes in and screams at those salespeople, doesn't
right,
it?
And right, right.
It sounds just like that. Ugh,
but it's
that's awful.
11-year-old.
Well, and it almost sounds like someone that you're dating or married to, the way that he refers to the relationship. You know, you're insulting me.
It's all about him.
You would never do that to your mother.
Yeah, he's not treating her like a daughter.
Oh, no, it's all about, it's also all about him. You've insulted me.
What kind of a statement have you heard from Mr. Baldwin's camp, or has he announced that he's going into rehab yet?
No, he, two things. One is they're saying, and this is the line, and again, I think so telling, in the best interest of the child, Alec will do what the mother is pathologically incapable of doing, keeping his mouth shut and obeying the court order. And then he goes on and he says, the mother and her lawyer leaked the sealed material. That's an assumption there. But then I got a call from one of his friends later in the evening last night and told me that he had called Ireland after he made that call and apologized for the outburst. And this guy is saying that, you know, that Ireland's the most important thing in the world to him. And then mm-hmm. he goes on, he is frustrated because over the last 6 years, Kim has tried everything to alienate Ireland from him. So it just keeps coming back to Kim.
Well, Harvey, I know you got to go get on TV here, so we'll let you go. But there is one sliver of good news in all this, and that's the kid is 11. So this can only go on for another 7 years. Then there's no more custody battle once she hits 18, right?
You know, I would guess this kid's got the maturity of like a 34-year-old
no
right
kidding.
Now.
Yeah. And I, no and kidding. And I'll bet when she gets to be 18, she's going to choose neither of them.
Yeah.
From the sounds of it.
Maybe so. Listen, you can read the story, hear the tape, and so much more. There's great Lindsay Lohan news. There's so much good stuff on TMZ.com today. Check it out. TMZ.com is the site. Harvey Levin, have a fantastic weekend, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Look, I don't care how many movies Matthew McConaughey makes. I don't care how many times he's the sexiest man alive. I don't care if he wins an Oscar. He's always going to be the dude from Dazed and Confused to me. Just because of that. He just is. Nothing he can do about it.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. It's the 420 celebration on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Q-Rock. We got the guys from the movie Hot Fuzz in the other room. They'll be joining us just after the top of the hour. Ralph conveniently called in sick today on a Friday, if that sounds familiar to you from last week, Lisa.
Hey, I was sick.
And he's in Philadelphia.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, with his buddies.
He's
drinking.
Faking it, though.
But we're going to take a look at the showbiz news. Where we mentioned last hour, and now there's more information coming out about Lindsay Lohan's MySpace page being hacked. I don't know who the brilliant guy or girl was who decided to get in there and lift all of her email messages to share with the rest of the world, but there's some great stuff coming out. For instance, most of which I can't say on the radio, you can see Lindsay writing about Paris Hilton and calling her the C word is what Lindsay refers to Paris Hilton as, which is always charming when it comes from a woman.
Right.
Lindsay had something to say about another woman. He calls Perez Hilton, the queen of all media, a fat F. So Lindsay's got that going on.
Okay.
It's especially funny, and we've known this about Paris Hilton for a long time, is that she's essentially illiterate. She uses fake words in her emails like Broughton. Now, a lot of people will say something like that when they don't care, they're just in a hurry. Paris Hilton actually thinks those are words, like Broughton. You know, he was Broughton it over here, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm going to have to do some more research on this, but it does sound like pretty good stuff. It sounds like, you know, reading what Lindsay's writing back and forth to her on again, off again, Stavros Mirkalis friend, the correspondence with Shauna Mokler, Travis Barker's ex, when Shauna thought that Paris was trying to steal Travis Barker away from her. There's a lot of good stuff on there, and I think we'll be hearing more about it in the days to come.
I don't know if you saw this story or not, but Lauren Conrad from The Hills and Laguna Beach's Jason Waller, they were going to have a sex tape out, and that was going to be great.
Yeah.
Except for they're not going to put it out now because of his disappointing behavior, and apparently the videotape of the sex is super vanilla, and not hardcore, not interesting at all.
Well, then it's not a sex tape, then, if it's not, if there's no sex on it.
It's just bad in every way, apparently.
Well,
so they're not going to put it out.
You just mean not.
It says vanilla with no hardcore sex.
Oh.
So what kind of a sex tape is that?
A bad one.
One that we're not interested in seeing or buying?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
No, they're not going to.
Now,
put
when
it
you
out.
Say because of his bad behavior, he's the guy who's always in trouble with the law and stuff because of all of his arrests and things like that. They don't want to support. They don't want to give money for that.
Four or five times in the last year, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hitting cops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Our pal Snoop Dogg back in the news. Maybe not in a good way. I hope this isn't true, but the report is, according to the New York Post Page 6 Gossip column, that he was paid $150,000 for a charity event to benefit UNICEF, and showed up and was just a complete diva. He said he, according to the Post, he forced organizers to fly 10 members of his entourage in first class. Then he almost bailed out on the whole thing because there was no Xbox in his dressing room. Which, by the way, that's one thing everybody knows famously. There's a couple of things Snoop needs in his dressing room. One of them has to do with today's date, and one of them has to do with the Xbox.
Yeah, but
gotta have his Xbox.
This is charity, for God's sakes.
It's for charity, right. So someone went home, one of the organizers of the event went home and brought their kid's Xbox back to the dressing room so that Snoop would have one to play with. And then they started playing it, and he and his peeps were having such a good time, smoking pot and playing video games, that they were an hour late going on stage. That's not... That's not maybe ideal when you're already getting $150,000 to show up. But that's according to the Post.
See how they come at black people?
Wow. We got to do the Sharon Osbourne story again because it's really... This is one of those stories that you have to hear over and over again to let it sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sharon Osbourne is so classy. Apparently, Josh Homme of the Queens of the Stone Age told Blender Magazine that the band would never play another Ozfest. Didn't treat the bands well enough. Whatever. So according to NME.com... Sharon Osbourne says that she hopes Josh gets syphilis and dies. She went on to say that she hoped that his manly appendage would fall off, and so that his mother could eat it.
Oh,
well, that seems a good defense of the charges.
That's
well done.
Right. That's Sharon Osbourne right there.
And finally, hot chick alert. I don't know why we don't do this every day, but I think this should be a new feature on the Kevin and Bean Show, as we tell you where all the hottie actresses are going to be on the talk shows tonight. Jessica Biel, for instance, on the David Letterman Show, talking about her new film today. My girlfriend, Maria Menounos, from Access Hollywood, on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
And by your girlfriend, you mean what?
The woman that I plan to marry next, yes.
Oh, okay.
Hottie actress Sienna Miller on Conan tonight.
Oh.
Laura Prepon on the Craig Ferguson Show.
Wow.
And we can't quite give her the full bail, but Hayden Panettiere from TV's Heroes makes an appearance on the Jay Leno Show tonight. When she turns 18 in about 6 months, I'm going to tell you what I think of her. But right now, she's just a delightful teenager. And also this weekend, Kevin, the world's best Saturday Night Live. This one is custom made for you and me.
All right.
Hosted by Scarlett Johansson.
Well, okay.
Musical guest, Bjork. So there's a little something for everybody there. That's this weekend with an all-new Saturday Night Live. And by the way, Bjork joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show next week, too, ahead of her performance at Coachella. We can't wait. Today's celebrity birthday is Oscar-winning actress Jessica Lange. Still looks fantastic. She is 60 years old today, although not quite as good as Carmen Electra looks at 35.
No.
Oscar winner Ryan O'Neal, 66 years old today. Andy Serkis, he was Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies. He is 43 years old today. Also, Crispin Glover, 43. Did his movie ever come out that he made about the Down syndrome kids?
I don't know.
Did that one ever? We heard a lot about it, and I can't wait to see it. That's all there is to it. It's a regular movie, and all the actors have Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. Just sounds fantastic. Joey Lawrence, most recently seen, I think, on Dancing with the Stars, is 31 years old today. And speaking of heroes, how about George Takei, ladies and gentlemen? Used to be best known as Star Trek's Mr. Sulu. Now he's the heavy on Heroes. Mr. Takei, 67 today, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. And despite what you hear in the lyrics to the songs today on 420 Day, we're certainly not suggesting that you should smoke some pot because that would be illegal and that would be wrong. Right, Kevin? That's the official position of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
Right. That's all we're saying is officially, in case the lawyers ask, we actually did say that at least once on the air today. All right. It's 7:07. It's Friday morning. That's the day the new movies come in theaters. And there's no one we're looking forward to more than this one. Ladies and gentlemen, Hot Fuzz in theaters today in the studio. The brain trust behind the magic. Edgar Wright is here. Simon Pegg. Nick Frost. All
happy
for Hot Fuzz.
Happy 420,
everyone. Happy 420.
Thank you.
And to you as well.
Have you guys been called a brain trust a lot?
I know. That's a good one. That's a new one.
A new one. Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually my superhero name is Brain Trust. Yeah, I can't believe you acted me live.
Speaking of the 420, I don't know what kind of a pot culture you have back home, but it's turned into an actual holiday here in the United States. I mean, 420 is pretty much universally recognized border to border. Do you have anything like that, or do you celebrate 420 back home as well?
It's Heroin Tuesday, isn't there?
There is Heroin Tuesday, but
once a week. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really, sadly.
And every fortnight, there's a big crack day. It's not quite to the level of 420. Yeah, that's quite wonderful.
Don't get me wrong. I think people do light smoking the Mary Jane. But
what are the laws like there? Is it hardcore or is it like here where everyone smokes it?
Everyone smokes it. Yeah. It's kind of been decriminalized though, but
declassified.
They'll still nick you for it, but
they still will.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, you got to be really stupid to get busted for pot at that point, right? Because they make it easy to kind of get avoided getting caught,
they
right?
Do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you back a truck up with like 2 tons in it, yeah, you're asking for some trouble with the law. I understand.
That's slightly go and live in Amsterdam, you know.
Yeah, sure. Or if you're George Michael, you're slumped over the wheel of the car or something like that.
That amazes me.
How great is that?
His house must be worth 50 million quid. Why don't you just go sit in your house and smoke a joint?
I don't get that either.
To drive over a golf course in your Range Rover to smoke a spliff.
Asleep.
Maybe his mum don't like it.
Well, listen, guys, where do I start with you? You've got so many fans. You're like those, I mean, you're cult heroes at home and here. I mean, let's back up, before we get into Hot Fuzz, let's back up to where people knew and fell in love with you, and that's with Shaun of the Dead. It has to be one of those situations where you made a movie because it was going to be fun, and you'd have a good time making it, and you'd have something to, impress the chicks with. And then it goes on to become a big hit around the world. It must have been the most shocking thing in the world that movie did as well as it did.
Yeah, well, we can't. I mean, we had faith in it, but we never had a game plan about, all right, let's conquer the world with this thing. It just sort of, we did it because we wanted to do it, and we enjoyed doing it, and we found a lot of people agreed with us, which was lovely.
I don't think we even realized it was going to, I mean, when we made it, we didn't even know it was going to come out in the States. We kind of wanted it to.
Just thought it might make a little splash in Britain, and that's it?
Well, you don't know. You just try and make a good film, and then sort of like to come out here and do all the press for Shaun and then around the world and stuff. It was crazy. It's fantastic.
Edgar, Shaun, by the way, for those of you that can't see, Edgar is about 14, maybe 15.
Bless you.
Very young.
It was his birthday.
It's actually my birthday on Wednesday.
No kidding. So 16.
Yeah. So you're 16. 16 now.
I'm 33.
Wow.
Oh my.
Oh wow.
I bathe in the blood of virgins.
So Shaun of the Dead comes out, and it is. It's very well received, as we said. And then you start to hear from, people over here, Quentin Tarantino, people like that, become fans of yours. And all of a sudden, you're in this U.S. film community. And was it kind of an open book? You could kind of do whatever you liked for your next movie because you had all this supporters. Was it also tough to get Hot Fuzz made?
No, I think we had a one in the bank. So it wasn't like we had to peddle our wares around again. You know, we had a home and we had the facilities to make the film. So it was slightly easier. And it was lovely to get support from big names like that. Although Alec Baldwin left me a message this morning. He was horrible.
Very angry.
He was really angry.
Angry young man.
I think he's angry because he wanted to see Hot Fuzz today, and now he has to sort stuff out with his daughter.
That right. could be, yeah.
So it's instead kind of going to the ruined theater. Opening day of Hot Fuzz for Alec Baldwin.
He likes, to, take, he likes to take 420 off. Take it as a home
now,
day.
Now, Simon, J.J. Abrams saw Shaun of the Dead and called you to be in Mission Impossible 3?
Yeah, he did. It was quite weird because in an act of utmost hypocrisy, I'd said in an interview like months before, someone had said, "What, are you going to go off to Hollywood?" Because in Britain, they're always worried you're going to run away. So you get asked it all the time. Are you going to go? Are you going to go to Hollywood? like you have to cross some bridge at night.
You're a sellover? Yeah. You're a sellout of some kind?
You're not allowed to come back. You go through this magic membrane.
Oh, fine, then go.
Go, we don't need you. And I said, oh, well, I'm not going to just go over and do, I don't know, Mission Impossible 3, which I just picked out of the air like some magical blockbuster that didn't exist.
Right.
Suddenly it's on, and he phones me and says, "Do you want to be in Mission Impossible 3? And I went, "Yeah, of course I do."
You didn't think it was Nick or somebody, some of your other buddies? I mean, how do you go, "Yeah, sure, this is J.J. Abrams. Thanks for calling. Bye."
It was weird. It just, the call came through. Me and Edgar were writing Hot Fuzz. The call came through to the office. Remember, I came back in and said, "J.J. Abrams just asked me to be in Mission Impossible 3.
I do.
It was incredible. At first, I wasn't able to do it because it clashed with my honeymoon, and I had to turn it down because some things are more important. But I figured if it happened once, it might happen again. And I got back from honeymoon, emailed JJ, and said, "Sorry, we couldn't work together this time." And he said, "Hey, look, there's another part you can do." So I went over and did that. It was great. I had a really good time.
Has it been out yet, Mission Impossible 3?
Oh, yeah.
Edgar doesn't like to talk about it.
I see.
I did. I liked it.
So was Hot Fuzz opening in theaters today, if you're just joining us? Edgar is the director-writer. Simon Pegg, also writer, and plays, acts in the movie. Nick Frost, also in the film, too. Was it an idea you had for a long time or something you came up with after Shaun of the Dead? You said, hey, here's another genre that we can have some fun with.
I had always wanted to make a cop film because basically you do not have British action cop films. They do not exist.
You know,
this is the first British cop film in 30 years, mainly because the bobbies aren't badass enough. They don't pack heat.
Right.
They got the silly hats and itchy sweaters. And
so nobody writes that kind of movie?
Exactly.
What about like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or movies like that?
Gangsters.
Yes.
Loads and loads of gangster films. And we think way too many gangster films. We were getting sick of them.
You could see it was the only way that certain people back home thought, how can we be cool like the Americans? Let's glamorize, a small community of East End hard nuts. And they did it like 20, 30 times. Wow, come on, it's boring now.
Tiring.
Very tiring. So let's get on the side of we like the idea of championing an essentially very uncool, cinematically uncool figure. And turning the sort of British uniformed officer into a superhero.
Now this part of this story is about a cop that's too good, makes everybody else look bad.
He's the super cop in London. He's so good, he's making everyone else look awful because he's like a spike in the statistics.
Sure,
of course,
you're ruining the curve, as we say.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in a little sort of satire of current sort of obsession with statistics back home, we have him transferred to this little sleepy village where he teams up with this fella.
Hello, Alec Baldwin.
Who's listening today? And they and Nick's character's like a sort of, he's a young pup of a cop, isn't he?
Yeah, Danny's a lovable oaf of a police dog. And he's lived in Sanford all his life, which is where the film takes place, but he has a yearning for something more, and I think when he meet Simon's character, he sees what that moor is.
Now, if you've seen the trailers, Simon's the one who jumps over the fences in the backyard, and then Nick is the one who runs through the fences in the backyard.
Very much.
So you can get your bearings.
Nick, your character Danny, he desperately wants to be like Simon's character. I mean, he looks up to that police officer and says, that's the ideal. That would be the coolest thing in the world, to be that dude. And then all of a sudden, he's partnered with him in this tiny small town. It must blow his mind.
I think it does blow his mind. Because I think as people, they're both missing something. And then once they find one another, they kind of complete what the other needs.
It's a Jerry Maguire type story.
Yeah.
They complete each other.
Show me your truncheon.
I read in the Entertainment Weekly about how you guys say you're heterosexual life partners.
Yeah.
We got to ask you about that. We got to ask you about being in the Grindhouse. Doing that trailer.
That was great, yeah.
Because that rules. We have a lot more questions. Simon Pegg is here. Nick Frost is here. Edgar Wright is here, the director and writer of Hot Fuzz. And we'll be right back.
In the meantime, though, looking forward to Hot Fuzz opening up everywhere today. Edgar Wright, director, writer in the studio with us right now. Simon Pegg, writer in the movie and actor in the movie, too. And Nick Frost, also in the film. They're in our studios today. What time's the first showing of Hot Fuzz today, guys? What's the earliest we can go see it? Like 11 or something?
I guess so.
Probably.
I suppose it's morning shows, yeah.
We could see if we could organize one to start in 5 minutes if you guys want to take the rest of the
We actually have other stuff to do but we're looking forward to 11.
Just stick on some more chili peppers for the next hour.
We will be appearing at random theaters across the area naked at certain showings today. We can't say which ones, but if you go along...
Is that supposed to encourage us to go or not?
Why are you trying to keep the business down? What's up with that?
I didn't think that through.
Guys actually... I understand you do like being in a... sneaking into a theater and seeing it with an audience. Right.
Yeah, no, it's always fun to kind of see, like, you got to get there. Because we've seen the film so many times, but you do kind of pinpoint the bits that you want to get back in time for. So if we could do Q&As and stuff, which we're doing two today.
Oh, you are?
At the Arclight in Hollywood, 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock one already sold out.
I love the Arclight. That's a great theater.
It's a great
theater. So we'll be at the Arclight Hollywood later on if anybody
wants to come. So after the movie, they can ask questions? Is that the deal?
Yeah. I might be giving out copies of Bad Boys 2. I might be like Father Christmas.
Wow.
Now, why is it? Let's talk about that, because Hot Fuzz, for folks who haven't seen the ad, and I don't know what kind of cave you got to live in to have not heard about this movie, but it seems like Bad Boys 2 is the one that you're going after. It seems like that's the movie that this is most like, but in a comical way, right?
Well, in the film, Nick Frost's character...
Hello.
his two favorite films And he loves all cop films. Like, Danny Butum is obsessed with cop films. And his two favorite films are Point Break and Bad Boys 2.
Awesome.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. They're like,
Point
sort of,
Break.
We the reason we picked those two is because we thought they were the ultimate in dumb popcorn fun.
Yes.
The ultimate in kind of spectacle and destruction.
Yeah.
In fact, on Monday we had a screening of Hot Fuzz, and Catherine Bigelow, the Point Break director, came to see it, which was such a trip.
That's got
to
be bizarre.
She loved it. She was lovely as well.
Now, how did you guys hook up with Quentin Tarantino?
He was just a big supporter of Shaun of the Dead. So we met him 3 years ago when Shaun came out, and both him and Robert Rodriguez are huge supporters of Shaun, and it was great, and just got to kind of meet him through that. So it's always the best way to meet kind of your heroes and stuff is through your own work.
They like something you've done.
Absolutely.
So they asked you to do the trailer for Don't?
Yeah.
In Grindhouse.
Well, please make Don't. Please make it.
I'd love to. That'd be hilarious. I hadn't really thought. I wrote Don't when they first asked me back in 2005. I wrote it immediately. They asked me and Eli Roth to do a trailer each. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with Don't. And kind of pitched it to Quentin on Cinco de Mayo. I remember vividly because I remember we got absolutely hammered and told him about Don't. And then I didn't get to do it until like a month ago. I filmed our trailer for Grindhouse, which Simon and Nick are both in.
Hello.
After Nick,
in your face, Baldwin.
So that was such a blast making that. It was such fun.
And Eli, he did Thanksgiving. That was his trailer, right? Oh, I want to see that movie, too. And I want to see Machete. I want all of those movies to be made that are in the Grindhouse trailers.
I think everybody out there has to keep seeing Grindhouse to the point where Thanksgiving and Don't becomes a double bill in its own right.
I do, too.
Absolutely.
We had Quentin Tarantino in, and we were like, please make all of those movies. They look very funny.
And me and Eli have the same birthday. So we had a joint birthday party on Wednesday. We do ours
on 420.
Right. Exactly.
Different kind of joy. Different kind of joy, Kevin. Hey, let me ask you guys this, and I don't know, I mean, you had a lot of, you know, special effects and dealing with a lot of actors at one time and everything in Shaun of the Dead, but this takes it to a whole new level with the car chases and the explosions and stuff like that. Did you kind of, I mean, was that tough to learn and tough to manage and tough to act through all that?
It was the best time of my life.
Yeah?
It was brilliant. It's very hard and it's demanding. You know, it gave us a newfound respect for the kind of guys that make those movies. You know, movies that you might sort of pass off as sort of, you know, sort of
silly.
Yeah. You suddenly realize that it takes a lot of work. But it was, you know, it was an enormous amount of fun.
I realize it, you know, it wasn't easy to slip into Michael Bay's tight jeans.
Well,
but that was just the waist size.
Yeah, I know. I need to lose a few pounds.
But it's funny because it's this very British, you know, idyllic small town comedy. But then at the same time, you've got this actual action movie happening, which is what you know, the dichotomy is what makes it so funny. Of course, is to see how it works. But I mean, you guys actually had to do that. I mean, Simon, I mean, were you in like car chases at 80 miles an hour and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was great. I think when I look at it now, and it might even be that we did this subconsciously, but that kind of, you know, the village setting, the sort of the idyllic cream teas and very proper Englishness is something that we see a lot of in films that are made in England to appeal here. You know, I think that there's an American idea of England which comprises almost completely of that. And, you know, we kind of, when I look at it now, it's like we're literally trying to blow that up. we're literally trying to explode that myth.
Take that, Calendar Girls.
Yeah.
Eat that, Richard Curtis.
So it was Calendar Girls.
That's us trying to detonate Calendar Girls. But it was with a huge amount of relish that we did it. So, yeah, it was tough, but it was great fun. We had so much fun, didn't we, just chasing around, beating up legends of the stage and screen. It was great.
I always love beating up legends of the stage and screen.
Sure.
Off camera.
All right, guys, before you go, we have to ask, and I feel like a doofus saying this because this movie hasn't even opened here yet, but I'm sure, you know, you've had the time now. You've probably already thought about what's next. Anything you can tell us?
Well, we're going to keep our cards close to our chest because when we did Shaun of the Dead, we stupidly announced that we were making Hot Fuzz, an action comedy, before we'd written a single word.
Oh, good. So then you were kind of forced into it?
No, it wasn't. We wanted to do it anyway, but it was that kind of annoying thing. It was my fault. I was the one with the kind of like the loose tongue who sort of said Hot Fuzz in an interview. And then as you're trying to write, as we did, then me and Simon spent like 18 months writing the script, and people are going, so what's happening with Hot Fuzz? Where's Hot Fuzz? Where's Hot Fuzz?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, man.
And they had an idea of what they wanted it to be, the whole deal?
Well, I kind of said it was going to be our, you know, sort of a British answer to Hard Boiled.
Well, the one unifying fact is that in Shaun of the Dead, we used the British ice cream Cornetto,
which recurs in Hot Fuzz.
Oh, so it's kind of a through line.
We can say that whatever the third film is, it will feature a cornetto. Now, Shaun of the Dead was original. No, Shaun of the Dead was strawberry. Hot Fuzz
Red
is
blood.
Original. Mm-hmm. Blue for the police. Green, mint choc chip will appear in the third film.
Okay, well, that's all I need to know.
That's a promise.
Hey, Bean, what's Simon talking about?
I'll explain to you later.
Okay.
The film opens up everywhere today. It really does look hilarious, and I'm glad you guys made the time to come in. I know this is a big, big day for you, so we're glad you carved out some time for us. Good luck with the film, and please come see us again, will you?
Will do.
Absolutely.
We will.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Coachella is next weekend, ladies and gentlemen. When you're running out of time to win your free tickets for all 3 days from the world-famous K-Rock.
1 week from today, 1 week from tomorrow, 1 week from Sunday. Very excited about that. And yep. We have 3 day passes for you right now with the Kevin and Bean Wake and Bake Theater.
Now it's time to wake and bake.
Yum, man.
You start the movie, smoke a lot of reefer. All you got to do is try and remember. Wake and Bake Theater is what we're smoking.
Now it's time to wake and bake.
Yum, man!
Is that Lightning doing the Jamaica accent, bud?
No, that's Omar.
Oh, my God.
That's Taliban right there.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's the way the game is played. It has nothing to do with Coachella, but it is 420. It is the celebration on the Kevin and Bean Show today. So what we've done is we've pulled some clips from famous pot movies from the past, going all the way back, famous pot movies. We're going to play a clip for you. All you have to do is identify the 420 movie. And if you're right, you go into the drawing. Somebody at the end in about 5 minutes is going to win tickets for not one, not two, but all 3 days of the Coachella Music and Arts Festival.
Scott in Northridge, good morning.
Morning.
You're a teacher?
Yes.
All right. What grade do you teach?
First grade.
All right.
They're listening right now. They're going to be very impressed if you get this one right.
Here's your clip for Kevin and Bean's Wake and Bake Theater. Tell us what movie this is from.
I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck for coke.
I seen them.
Now that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some for marijuana?
Huh?
No.
All right.
Oh, that's delightful. What's the film there, Scott?
Name of the film.
Cheech and Chong? I don't know.
Cheech and Chong. Nope. No, that's Half-Baked.
Half-Baked is what we're looking for.
All right, let's go to Freddie in Upland. Good morning, Freddie.
Oh, that guy was stupid.
All right, Freddie, you sound like our kind of contestant. Listen up. Here's the movie. You give us the title, and you're in the drawing for Coachella tickets. Here you go.
Light it up. Let's get Chinese eyes, man.
Hey, what kind of joint is this, man?
Oh, it's a heavy-duty joint, man.
It looks like a toothpick, man.
No, it's not a toothpick, man.
No, hey, it is a toothpick, man.
Oh, man, it is a toothpick.
All right, what movie is that?
Dude, this is for that idiot Cheech and Chong up in smoke.
There you go.
There
nicely
you go.
Done.
Well done. Well done.
I like it. Freddie has no time for the last caller. All right, let's go to Melissa, as it's spelled here, M-A-L-I-L-I-S-A. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Works for a porn company.
All right. Not so fast. Wait, well, what's the deal here? What are you doing for the porn company, Melissa?
I'm a personal assistant and I'm a receptionist, so I'm not doing a lot, but I do work for
Not yet. Not yet. Wait till some actress doesn't show up on the set and they go out to the front office to see who's available. All right, listen up. Here's your pot movie. Name it, and you're in the drawing for Coachella tickets. Here we go.
I'm so high. Nothing can hurt me.
No.
Marijuana kills.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Oh, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry as balls.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Let's eat.
What about KFC?
Yeah. No. We've been there too many times. I want something we haven't had in a while. I want the perfect food.
All right. What movie is that from?
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Oh.
Well, let's see. If they don't go to KFC, maybe they go to White Castle, and maybe it's Harold and Kumar who we're talking.
Oh, Melissa.
Oh, excuse me.
We're so disappointed in you.
I know, I'm disappointed in myself.
All right. Thank you for calling.
You broke my heart. I wish you hadn't called now. Thank you, though. All right. Let's try Paul in Fountain Valley. Let's see if we can get him in the running to win all 3 days of Coachella. By the way, this last pair of tickets given away until Monday morning. We will have more for you Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Paul, you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, guys.
All right.
Good
morning. Listen up. Here's your movie.
How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted. What is this stuff? Doesn't that stuff cause brain damage?
Only if you take it like every day for a month.
Bitchin'.
Okay, Paul.
Is that Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yes, it is.
Yep. It is. And by the way, 40 years of stoner movies, I still think Sean Penn is the best who's ever played one. I really do. I think Spicoli is the classic. That's the standard by which all others are judged. Well done.
Let's go to Zach in Monrovia. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank you. Zach is a karate teacher.
Hey!
Hey! All right, here's your movie. You ready?
Yeah.
You said someone's toking some reefer.
No, I mean, I said somebody smelling some pot. An observation?
Oh, an observation, huh? Well, who the hell are you, man? Isaac f***ing Newton? Well, guess what, genies? I'm the one smoking marijuana, mother f***. You got a problem with that?
No, of course not.
Well, why'd you say that, chief?
What movie's that from?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Oh! Oh, it's a great, it's a classic. You sure no idea? That's too late.
I'm 16, I don't know.
Well, you need to go out and rent Dazed and Confused.
That's the one you need to see, my friend. Dazed and Confused. Yeah. Nice try.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're 16. You say you're a karate teacher?
Yeah, my dad has been doing karate for about 23 years, and I started when I was 3. So I help him teach every day.
Okay. All right. How about this, Zach? A little less time with the physical fitness, a little more time with the pod movies, all right?
Hey!
All right. Do we have time for one more, or are we out?
That's some good advice. Yeah, we have time for one more.
Let's do one more, and then we'll do the grand prize drawing and find out who's going to Coachella. This is going to be Edgar in Bell. Edgar, you feeling lucky today?
Yeah, I feel lucky.
All right, okay. I can tell. Wow. A lot of confidence. All right, listen up.
Confident. Here you go.
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
All right, what movie is that?
Friday.
Yeah. That couldn't have been easier, right?
Well done.
Because it's Friday.
All right, let's find out. Right. What do we got? Three listeners in the drawing, I think we got?
Yeah.
Lisa's going to do it. Find out who wins to go to Coachella.
Wait, I got to fold up the last piece of paper, and then I got to mix them up.
Got Freddie, got Paul, got Edgar.
Here. All right.
Apparently Lisa's having trouble with the drawing.
All right. And the winner is Freddie in Upland.
We got a winner! Freddie's my favorite because he's the guy that was called the first guy an idiot.
Yeah, he was.
Freddie.
Yes.
All 3 days, dude.
That is sweet.
Thank
that
you.
Is sweet.
Thank you for playing the Kevin and Bean Wake and Bake Theater.
Now it's time to wake and bake.
Yeah, man.
You start the movie, smoke a lot of reefer. All you got to do is try and remember. Wake and Bake Theater is what we're smoking.
Now it's time to wake and bake.
Yeah, man.
Ralph is practically on vacation already, doing the show from Philadelphia, now decided, oh, it's Friday, make it a long day, 3 day weekend. So, Lisa, you know what that's like, right? You've done that.
Yeah,
so.
We
did that last weekend.
Great. It's beautiful.
In the meantime, though, we are filling in with the Showbiz Beat. We talked to our pal Harvey Levin from TMZ.com earlier today. They broke another world exclusive, and this is an ugly one, too. You know how contentious the divorce and custody battle has been between actors Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger? Well, it just got even uglier, if you can imagine. Or maybe it's been this ugly for a long time, but maybe this is the first time we've kind of heard it with our own ears. But they've been fighting over custody and visitation rights between the two of them over their now 11-year-old daughter named Ireland. And I guess they had some sort of a setup where Alec was supposed to call and talk to his daughter on the phone a few days ago, and then somehow it went to voicemail or she wasn't there or something like that, and he just went off. And we're going to play just a portion of the tape, and you can hear the whole thing at TMZ.com. But here he is talking to his beautiful, lovely 11-year-old daughter.
You've made me feel like shit, and you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you...
It is scary. And it's a shame because you never know what people are like, personal versus private. But I like him so much as an actor. I mean, he is the best thing on television on 30 Rock. His character is tremendous. And I want to think he's a nice guy, but it's hard to think he is when you see that. Kevin, I know you hate the James Blunt. I know you and a lot of people really never want to hear "You're So Beautiful" again as long as you live. You hate the guy. It was bad. I mean, it hurt us when he hooked up with Petra Nemkova, the palm tree model, because she is way too good for him, right? We'd be happy to know that we all have revenge because apparently, according to the New York Post's Page Six, James Blunt is now dating and was seen lip-locked at Teddy's in L.A. on Wednesday night with Paris Hilton.
Yeah!
Oh, that's fine.
So that's great. I mean, I'm just saying, he gets what he deserves, because now apparently he's tried to have a conversation with Paris Hilton. So all the bad things that we wanted to see happen to him are now happening to him. So
that's,
I think that's
fantastic.
Good news.
It's about time. Who's uglier than that guy, really?
He ought to take a look at what prescriptions she had in her storage closet before he gets too close to Paris Hilton, by the way.
No kidding.
And I love this story. You know, all this week we've been obsessed with and talking about the Virginia Tech shooter. And, you just wish, I mean, we knew he was a crazy man and all that, but you just wish somebody had recognized something dangerous in him and figured out a way to prevent that tragedy from happening. Well, it's good to know that if he had lived next to the rapper Cam'ron, he still would have been able to go out and shoot all those people, because Cam'ron, with an unbelievable interview that airs on this Sunday night, 60 Minutes, is sitting down with Anderson Cooper and talks about the policy of not snitching. Listen to this.
Is there any situation where you think it's okay to talk to the police?
Yeah, definitely. Say hello, how you feel, everything all right, period.
If there's a serial killer living next door to you, though, and you know that person is killing people, would you be a snitch if you called police and told them?
If I knew the serial killer was living next door to me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't call and tell anybody on them, but I'd probably move, but I'm not going to call and be like, you know, the serial killer's in 4E.
Excellent.
What about that?
That's just bizarre. We're not talking about
that?
Even gangsters with a reason for killing people. We're talking about serial killers.
Where's Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton?
Good question.
Where's them picketing Cam'ron and his record label about the destruction that he's bringing to the black community with statements like that on television?
What color is he?
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Anyway, that airs and you'll see the complete interview, and there's even more. It gets crazier, if you can believe it. That's on 60 Minutes on CBS this Sunday night.
According to Page Six in the New York, Times? Daily
Post?
News?
Post?
Whatever. Britney Spears is blaming her family for everything that has happened to her recently. She apparently is saying that it's her family's fault that she was in a downward spiral that landed in rehab.
Her family has done nothing but be supportive of her and try to pull her out of the tailspin that she's been in.
Nope. She's pointing at her dad and her parents for where she is today with her kids and career.
Oh!
And her dad says she was out of control. She shaved her head, blah, blah, blah. And then she shot back that her dad doesn't, quote, know how to accept a real woman's love, and claims that she and her dad have never had a good relationship. And she says that her head shaving was just a show of solidarity with her aunt, who died from cancer.
Oh, she just made that up?
That she was really embarrassed about going to rehab.
Okay.
So, good times right there with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I think I liked Britney better when she was drinking. It's 8 o'clock, KRQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Celebrity birthdays today. We wish well to Carmen Electra, who is 35. Couldn't be any hotter. Also, Andy Serkis, he played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies, is 43 years old today. That guy is a terrific actor, by the way, and it's a shame that most people will never know it because they only know him as Gollum. But the guy is very, very talented. Also, crazy man, he's a recording artist, he's a writer, he's a filmmaker, he's an actor. He is Crispin Glover, and he is 43 years old today. Joey Lawrence turns 31, most recently seen on Dancing with the Stars. Oscar winner Jessica Lange is 60. And George Takei, Star Trek's Mr. Sulu, now seen on Heroes. An exclusive interview with Psycho Mike, and I can't tell. Psycho Mike was talking to George Takei from Heroes the other day. We'll hear that Monday morning. I can't tell in the tape who was trying to pick up who, but maybe we'll find out. That's going to be airing Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Duchovny's next. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
What about David Duchovny?
Oh, David Duchovny. Yes.
Does he seem gay?
Well, a third think he's gay. A third think he's bi. And the rest don't care. They just want to kiss him anyways, which would be me.
Well, that's how we feel, too. Ladies and gentlemen, very happy to welcome back to the show. It's been a while. Dave Duchovny on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Hey, Dave.
That's a nice introduction.
Isn't that nice?
I knew that you'd like that. Dave, I know that it's been your curse as you've been doing publicity for the TV set in theaters now. We'll talk about that in a second. But everywhere you go, people bring up that the Larry Sanders DVD just came out.
Yes.
Which you are so closely identified with. And I bought it, of course, when it went on sale Tuesday. And last night I watched one of your episodes with Larry. And then I watched the new interview that I guess you guys recently shot on a basketball court.
Right, yeah.
Good stuff, man. Really fun.
Well, aside from the fact that it's, you know, one of the great shows of all time, Sanders, I think that what Gary's done with the extras on this DVD is pretty intense. I mean, I don't know of any other DVD set that has taken so much time to give as much about the behind the scenes stuff as this, so it's pretty great deal.
They usually just throw in some deleted scenes is about it, like five deleted scenes, and then they move on.
Well, I didn't know about the deleted scenes. I know I shot one with a kilt
I saw that. I saw you walk out, and that was actually your real kilta from your family heritage back in Scotland that you wore, right?
That's right. It's a nice, it's a beautiful kilt.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, anyway, Dave is hilarious, and Alec Baldwin, Tom Petty, John Stewart, Ellen DeGeneres, Jerry Seinfeld, all new interviews. You got to check it out. It's awesome.
Like,
but that's not why.
Like the father of all, you know, cable comedies. It still holds up so well.
I wonder how many people that are, you know, younger or weren't paying attention at the time have never seen the Larry Sanders Show, because
I think Sony's probably hoping for a lot of them.
So worth getting. If you haven't seen that, it's very, very funny.
You know, it's funny. It kind of is related to the message in your movie in the TV set that's in theaters right now. Because I mean, a show like Larry Sanders, if it weren't for a place like HBO, I don't know that a show like that ever would have been approved by Hollywood and gotten put on broadcast television because it was too weird.
Well, it's weird. It also uses, you know, language. That was the thing. You know, when we used to kind of compete for the awards with shows like The Sopranos, and I would always say, it's not fair, they get to say
right, you know, you know. They can say the F word, you can't do that on The X-Files.
You can't win unless you can curse. but you know, with access to that kind of vocabulary, you hear people talk the way they really talk, and it's just funnier.
Yeah,
I agree. Now, the TV set is interesting because it almost seems like, I mean, you know, you're an actor, so you're kind of forced to work in Hollywood, but there are so many things trying to beat down any original ideas. And I'm not just talking about the character that you play in the movie. Yeah. I'm talking about in real life as a guy who writes, for instance. I'm sure you've been in a ton of meetings where they said, yeah, but what if we did it our way, right?
Well, the movie making and television making is so expensive, and you naturally want to reach the broadest audience that you can. I mean, and that's what these people are in business of doing. So once you start thinking of the broadest audience that you might possibly reach, stuff starts to get watered down and broader. The ideas get broader.
You know, so
people think in order to reach a broad audience, you have to have a broad idea. So, yes, there's been some interesting meetings that I've been involved in. But I'm sure, you know, on radio, I'm sure you guys go through similar stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, we're all one day away from being imist. I mean, that's our curse in this business. You know that.
Is that a verb now? I didn't know that
was
it. Imist, yeah.
It is. So when I first saw the trailer for the TV set, I saw a commercial for it. I was watching a show one night, and I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe John Ritter had another movie in the can. And it turns out, not John Ritter, just Dave Duchovny with a beard.
Yeah, I miss John Ritter. He was such a great actor, such a funny guy too.
True.
I guess it is a Ritter-esque kind of a beard.
Do you mind if I read for the LA Times real quick so you can get your thoughts on their quote?
Sure.
Duchovny, bearded, tubby, and nearly unrecognizable from his days as a headlining hunk on The X-Files.
Yeah.
And then it goes on. That doesn't seem.
It goes on. After that, I passed out, so I didn't read anymore.
That's the only part I liked. That must feel weird.
Well, I feel good about that because when Jay Kasdan, the writer director, came to me, he said, "You know, you don't really look like this guy. You know, will you put on some weight?" You know, and I said, absolutely not. Not for the scale that you guys are paying me in this independent film. I'll put on an ounce or two.
A fat suit.
I put on a fat suit, yeah. I said, I'll grow a beard and wear one of those fat suits.
You did, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
I didn't De Niro on this one.
Now, Freaks and Geeks, of course, is one of the great cult television classics of all time. And this isn't just strictly based on that, but there is kind of some of the story because of some of the people involved in the movie, right?
Yeah. When we were doing the movie, Jake said, you know, you're basically, you know, you're playing Judd Apatow. And he said, you know, and there's no reason to talk about that because, you know, nobody knows Judd. And then, of course, 40-year-old virgin comes out and everybody's like, talk about Judd Apatow. You're playing Judd Apatow. And all of a sudden, you're playing Abraham Lincoln.
Dave Duchovny's on the line. We're talking about his movie, The TV Set. Unfortunately, Ralph, our entertainment guy, is out sick today, so he isn't able to join us on this interview. But he saw this movie last week and just said it was hilarious and really gave high marks not only to you for your character, but apparently Sigourney Weaver rips it up.
Sigourney Weaver is tremendous. Judy Greer is also in it. She's one of the unsung funny people in Hollywood who is going to break out any moment now. Fran Kranz, Yoan Griffiths, great cast. Jake and Judd Apatow have a great eye for talent.
Yeah. Now, Sigourney Weaver plays the network exec. We have the clip of her trying to get you to change the show. Set it up for people.
My favorite thing in show business is the radio clip.
Yeah, it's always good, isn't it?
We're trying to bring it back, Dave.
Dude, it's all we have. What are we supposed to do?
I know. You have no choice.
No, we don't.
I realize that, but it's still my favorite thing.
Okay, so set up your fictional TV show and what it's about.
My show is based on a very kind of personal thing that happened to me where my brother had died, and I wrote this kind of hour pilot show about a man, you know, thinly veiled myself, going back to his hometown after this family tragedy of his brother dying. So it sends him back, you know, on a sensitive kind of journey through his past.
And here's the clip.
Suicide is depressing to like 82% of everybody. Just take a few minutes, write up some new dialogue, then shoot it both ways. See what works in the cutting room.
You mean just write up an alternate scene right now?
Just so we're covered in case the suicide doesn't work.
Yes, but the whole show is...
Mike, we love the show.
I get that. It's just everything we've shot so far has to do with Chuck's suicide. I mean, they talk about it, the characters, in almost every scene.
So you loop it. Every time he says my brother, you just cut away and replace the dialogue with my mother.
What could be difficult about that situation?
That's awesome.
I like that she says 82% of the people is depressing.
Studies. They've done studies. I want to know about that other 18%.
I don't.
That's a good question. That's from the TV set, which opens up everywhere today. Hey, let me ask you two more things real quick, Mr. Duchovny, since we haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this last night as I was watching you on the Larry Sanders outtake when I guess Gary Shanley brought up that you played ball. You played freshman college ball at Princeton, right? Do you still follow basketball, and are you a Lakers or a Clippers man?
I still follow basketball mostly this time of year when it gets into the playoffs. I think the season's too long and the guys don't have to play that hard and shouldn't hurt themselves during the regular season. But I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a suffering Knicks fan.
Oh, dear God.
That's got to hurt.
Nice talking to you, Dave.
why not keep me on and torture me?
It's top-notch gay.
Well, there is that, too. And the other question that I had for you, and again, I thought of this as I was thinking about your character in the TV set, is as a guy who's a writer and a bright guy who's got a lot of ideas and has to fight the Hollywood system, do you have that screenplay or that idea of something you've always wanted to get made and haven't been able to get done yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got a few because when I went and did wrote and directed a movie, it basically took me 2 years out of acting, which is one of the reasons why you haven't guys spoken to me in a while. And it's hard, you know, in this world of such fast news cycles, it's hard to establish yourself again. So what I've been doing the past couple of years is really, you know, just acting as much as I can. So I have like three or four screenplays that I've written that are just waiting for the time when I'm unpopular again, so that I can go and direct them.
Are you asking people to not watch you act then?
Yeah, I'm ambivalent about it.
Okay.
No. I want them to watch me for, you know, another handful, 10 years.
Okay.
And then I'll inflict some more movies on them.
Fantastic.
It's got to be funny because, you know, you're hunched over the typewriter working on the Great American Novel or something, and your poor, you know, long-suffering wife is coming home after doing another Nicolas Cage film, and she's like, come on, Dave, get back to work. I can't support us forever.
You guys have been spying on us.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, Dave, I was thinking about this as we let you go. We've been having you on this show now for almost 15 years, if you
That's
can believe
not
it.
True,
and
is it?
Almost. Yeah, I'm afraid it is. Yeah, it's almost 15 years, and you really are one of our all-time faves. And we're always happy to promote anything you're in. And this one does look
so
very,
much.
Very funny.
We'll be back on. You know, we are going to do this X-Files movie. It's moving forward, so I know you guys will want to talk about that. And
absolutely.
The voice of God himself, Chris Carter, calling.
Fantastic.
Can't wait. Thanks. Looking forward to it. Go see the TV set in theaters everywhere today. Excuse me, not everywhere. Let me actually tell you where it is. In Pasadena at the Lemley 1 Colorado, in West Hills at the Lemley Fallbrook 7, and, of course, where Ralph saw it last week, in the West Hollywood Lemley Sunset 5. Definitely make time to check it out. It looks great. Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, bye. Look, I know I'm not smart. I get that. But Dave Duchovny really makes me feel like an idiot.
He makes us all feel like an idiot.
Yeah,
he's one of the smartest guys in Hollywood. I mean, the guy's a genius.
Pretty really quick.
But at least he's not a good actor and funny and a good-looking guy on top of all of that. Hey, party people, this email begins. Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, on K-Rock 827 Friday morning. Hey, party people, so Ralph is, quote-unquote, sick. Huh?
Yeah.
What, did Lisa get back at him by giving him some pot brownies on his return from Philadelphia? Or did he decide to really celebrate 420 Snoop style? I don't think we'll ever know. But I do know that Ralph is not here today, but we are filling in on the showbiz beat, and we're always happy to welcome our next guest to the show, filling in on the movie beat, guy who's actually on vacation this week and talks to us from his home in his pajamas. Ladies and gentlemen, Russ Leatherman is Mr. Movie Phone.
Oh, yeah.
once again. Hey, Russ.
Welcome to Kevin and Beanphone.
So what do they do on CNN when you take a Friday off? Who fills in for you over there, Russ?
I think they put in Anderson Cooper.
Excellent.
Because he's a man who can do it all.
That's right. That
exactly.
is true.
That's what I understand. Well, it's a shame. I mean, I don't know if you've been seeing the movies or not, but it looks like a lot of options, a lot of good choices at the theater this weekend.
There are a lot of movies in theaters, and, you know, I am on vacation, but I have seen a couple of the movies, which actually still makes me have seen more of the movies than Ralph.
That's true. That is accurate.
Right. Well, that's kind of Ralph's hook, is that he doesn't see any of them.
Well, this is going to be more like that. So let me apologize in advance for that. But I know you guys were talking earlier about the new movie Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
And you had some of the guys on the show. And that can be uncomfortable sometimes for me, because you guys always get the big stars. Then I follow up by, you know, having to hammer their movies.
Oh, but I suspect not today, though. I suspect this movie actually turned out to be good, right?
You are right, my friend.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, this is a movie that I think everybody's going to like. I mean, your audience is perfect for Hot Fuzz. You know, you had the guys on the show. They're funny. They're smart. This is an action spoof that I just loved. And you know the story. You've already talked about it. You got Simon Pegg. He's the best cop that London has to offer, so they send him to a small town because he's just making everybody else look bad. Let's take a listen to a clip from Hot Fuzz if you have one up there.
Yeah, this is his partner Nick Frost talking about real police work.
That is Swayze's just robbed his bank. Keanu Reeves is chasing him through people's gardens, and he goes to shoot Swayze, but he can't because he loves him so much, and he's firing his gun up in the air. He's like, oh. Have you ever fired your gun up in the air and gone, ah?
No, I have not ever fired my gun up in the air and gone, ah.
If this movie is half as much fun as Shaun of the Dead was, I don't see how it can miss, Russ.
Well, you know what? I loved Shaun of the Dead. I really did. I thought it was a lot of fun. And, you know, there's just something about British comedy. I mean, these guys know how to do it right, and when it's done well, it's fantastic. Now, this movie isn't in a ton of theaters.
Oh, it isn't?
No, it's not a super huge wide release. So, you know, obviously go to moviephone.com or call 777-FILM to get the theaters, because I do think it is so popular. For example, you go to moviephone.com right now, it is the number one movie on the site.
How about that?
So I think a lot of people are going to go see it, but just make sure you get your show times and your tickets in advance, because you just might get sold out.
Okay.
Good tip. All right, what's next?
Well, how about a little Ryan Gosling?
Oh, I love him.
He's amazing, yeah.
Oscar-nominated actor. He's with Anthony Hopkins in this new movie, Fracture. Now, he plays this sort of hot shot. He's an assistant DA. He's prosecuting a confessed shooter, played by Anthony Hopkins, who has murdered his wife and the dude she's having an affair with.
Right.
Ryan Gosling's job is to try and prove he's the killer. If you got a clip, let's take a listen to that.
Your wife, is she here? Is she all right?
I don't think she is. I shot her.
You shot your wife?
It's just like I suddenly snapped and I got the gun and I shot her in the head. I know it was wrong.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Creepy.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Hopkins is amazing.
I gotta tell you, I like this movie more than I thought I was going to. If you guys have seen the ads for the movie, they show Anthony Hopkins, and he's really got that Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter face on.
Yeah.
And you really feel like they're just trying to capitalize on that movie, and frankly, who wouldn't? But I gotta tell you, it's a good movie. It's not a great movie. Every time I see Anthony Hopkins, especially in a role like this, I do think back to Hannibal Lecter and how absolutely fantastic he was in that movie.
Right.
And I sort of hate to see him hitting the same thing again, but this is a good combination. Both these guys are great actors. It's some interesting twists, but I liked it. I'm in. I like Fracture.
Fantastic.
Okay, good deal. Fantastic.
What else we got? We got In the Land of Women. Now, I got to tell you guys, I didn't see this one.
Okay. Excellent.
But let me just tell you, it's about a brokenhearted young man who moves in to care for his grandmother and stumbles into the lives of the family across the street.
It's top-notch gay.
I gotta say, this is top-notch gay.
my impression, and this movie has not been getting the big push like some of the others have, but what I know about this is it's Adam Brody, who we loved on The OC, playing a character who basically dates a lot of women of all different stripes, and a lot of hot actresses in this one, too, it looks like.
It does look like it, but if you guys have seen the commercials like I have, I almost wanted to kill myself just after watching the commercial.
All right. You know,
Perhaps we'll pass then on hearing the clip from In the Land of Women and move on to Vacancy. Now, we talked to Kate Beckinsale earlier today, who I just love. She doesn't always make the best movies in the world, but she is always eminently watchable. What did you think of this one so far, what you've heard about it, Mr. Movie Fun?
Here's what I think about it. Here's the story. You talk to her, you probably know you got Luke Wills and Kate Beckinsale. They've checked in to this motel. They go off-road. They go way out of the way into this beat-up motel, and they're in the hotel room watching themselves on the TV, or watching these people on the TV who looks like snuff films, and come to find out, they're going to become part of it.
Yeah, it's in their room. Here's a clip of Vacancy.
911 emergency.
We need some help. Some people are trying to kill us.
Where are you located, sir?
Me and my wife were at this motel, the Pinewood Motel. It's near the mountains. They've got us trapped.
Has you trapped, sir?
I don't know. We just need help. The Pinewood Motel.
You're going to need to settle down, sir. You'll never survive if you lose control, Mr. Fox. And you shouldn't be wandering around in the dark by yourself.
And a car drives through the... Yeah.
That sounds like maybe that wasn't the cop you had on the phone. In fact, it was the evil motel manager.
Here's what we know. Kate Beckinsale hot.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's okay. What you go with.
Right.
Other than that, I've seen the ads for this thing. Just looks like a big old stinky turd to me.
Oh, wow. They didn't put that on the poster, I'll tell you that.
You know what? You couldn't have a more simpler premise. It looks terribly gruesome, and so maybe there's an audience for that. But if I got $10 this weekend, I'm probably not putting it on Vacancy.
But then, see, okay. The problem is you got that side of it, and then you got the hidden camera with Kate Beckinsale side of it.
Yeah, that's hard to do. You know, so, it's hard to come to terms with that in your mind.
What do you do?
Exactly.
I don't know what to do, but you know what? Pretty good actors in what looks to be a pretty B film. So I'm not putting my $10 on Vacancy. Now you got a bunch more, literally 122 movies in theaters this weekend.
Wow. Including Hot Fuzz, which we just talked about a minute ago, and the TV set.
Yeah, the TV set.
Yeah, absolutely.
David Coveney, right.
You know, both of those are probably worth checking out. I would say my pick of the week would have to be Hot Fuzz. I had a blast at this movie. I think you guys are going to like it, too. I thought Fracture was pretty good, although I still have no idea what the title has to do with the movie. So.
Excellent.
We'll get back to you. All right. Mr. Movie Phone, of course, MrMoviePhone.com. Last question. We're both in PJs today. I've got little ducks on mine. What are you wearing on yours today, Russ?
I've got the plaid and the T-shirt with about 1,000 holes in it.
Excellent.
Very sexy. Oh, you're turning me out. We're going to have to end this call now. Thanks, Russ. Have a great weekend.
You guys have a great weekend.
This is Top Notch Gay.
First, the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. Everybody loves me, right?
Kevin, I'll tell you what really blows is the fact that you say blows all the time now. It blows. I mean, I can't tell you how much that blows. Asswife.
Wow. Kevin, anything you want to say to us about that call?
Yeah, I think I like asswipe. That needs to come back. That's all I heard. Psycho Mike, it's about time that you leveled with the audience.
Mike, come out of the closet, Mike. Mike, it's okay. You can come out of the closet now. You and Tom Cruise, come out of the closet, Mike.
Okay, we're going to have a discussion. We didn't have time for it yesterday, but Mike has decided that he wants to be a gay man. He just can't get over that final hurdle of gay sex, and I think if he could figure out a way to conquer that, he'd be in the lifestyle.
And I think that this is step one of telling us. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Omar. Omar. Wait. You're back at the studio.
Why today?
I don't know.
Just don't have any idea.
420.
That's a good question. Lisa May's dog tried to commit suicide.
No.
Sure.
And we're trying desperately to tell her that it was on purpose. There's no question about that.
You guys were talking about Lisa May's dog that committed suicide. I just wanted to comment on that if I could. I just call her.
Come on.
He did it to himself.
That guy is setting himself up. Come on.
3, 2, 1. Happy 420! Dance, dance, smugs, a pot. Pot, pot, pot.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. This is Tyler. Calling in to tell you guys that it's pretty rainy outside. Shouldn't forget to bring a towel with you wherever you go. And also, it's 420.
4:20. Oh, it's early in the morning, and I'm high. And all I want to do is lick Lisa.
That's a game we play.
Oh, yeah. I want to lick her. And lick her. Lick her.
All right.
I want to lick Lisa.
All right.
Oh, so bad.
Okay, stop.
Okay, now he's creeping me out.
Okay, listen.
Jeez.
I'm going to lick
you. All right.
I suspect for some of those callers, it's 4:20 every day, by the way. But was nice to hear from our old friend Tally. We haven't heard from Tally in a while.
Yeah, those of you that didn't see South Park, Tally is a best-selling author that went on the Oprah Winfrey Show and then took the, audience hostage, and then Oprah's vagina somehow ended up getting shot. I'm not exactly sure how all that worked. Our old friend is back.
Hey, Tony Bean. This is the one from Los Angeles, California. Hey, guys. This is the one show from Los Angeles, California. My special guest, she's a wonderful actress, former child actress, play on E.T. and Chuck Tantra SEO. Please welcome Drew Barrymore.
Oh, he's doing his own show now. He's got imaginary guests. Poor Dwan.
Dude, it's 4:20. Yeah. I think he's celebrating, although he's been getting a little stranger and stranger as time goes along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not good. But we also have an actual theme for him as well.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's the one from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train, Soul Train.
Sing it again, on. Listening to Red Suit Jump. Damn it, I knew I was going to screw that up.
Yay!
You want to hear it again?
Yes!
Red Suit Jump. Damn it, I knew I was going to screw that up.
That's good times. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Hey, the guys who produce Charm School over there on VH1, and they've been behind a bunch of the reality shows that we love on that channel, are in the next room. Mark and Chris are going to be joining us, and they're going to explain to America how they made the decision to show a woman crapping on a stairwell on national television. So that's all on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is, I don't know where Ralph is today, but he's not here doing the showbiz beat. I do know that.
He's in Philadelphia, and he's sick.
Quote, unquote, sick. Lindsay Lohan is having a rough week, guys. Apparently, someone thought it might be funny to hack into her personal MySpace.com page, and now private email messages between Lindsay and her celebrity friends are all over the internet.
Excellent.
She calls Paris Hilton the C word. Excellent. She calls Perez Hilton a fat F. There's more. Apparently, there's emails back and forth between Lindsay Lohan and Shauna Mochler, the former wife of Travis Barker. I guess Shauna found out that Travis had been emailing Lindsay and then wrote a diatribe about how she'd find her own man instead of sleeping with other women's men. It just went on and on and on. So if you love the catfights as we do, there are a couple of different places where you can find them. Of course, we recommend you start with TMZ.com, and that'll tell you where to go to find out more of what Lindsay has to write in her personal time. I'm sure she'll complain about this. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this from Lindsay. But I kind of understand where she's coming from on this one.
Half hour from now, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about Alec Baldwin's threatening message to his daughter. That's very scary and very ugly.
It really is.
And that's coming up. Also on TMZ, they were talking about this new porn company that has decided not to put out the sex tape between the Hills star Lauren Conrad and Laguna Beach's Jason Waller.
Yeah, that seems like a decision that's, I don't know, wrong.
Because of the Bad Boys, quote, severely disappointing behavior. And apparently, according to the sources, the tape is severely disappointing as well.
Guys, if you're going to buy a sex tape from somebody and then put it out against that person's wishes, you can't then turn around and say, because of that guy's that image or his bad behavior, you're not going to put it out. You can't do both.
Well, they did. They apparently offered $500,000 for the sex tape and then said, you know what? Nah, we're out. We don't want to do that. Apparently, the sex tape is very vanilla, no hardcore sex. It's just them basically, quote, messing around. Sugar DVD tells TMZ that they're retracting their offer of the money because of his arrest in Seattle. Quote, we refuse to support any person who feels that it is in any way acceptable to rattle off racial slurs and slanderous language about African-American people, homosexual people, and the police department.
They have standards?
Yes.
I'm not going to vote for the guy. I don't think he should be running anything. But if he's having sex with hotties, then I'll watch. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently, it's not good sex. It's
they just use that as an excuse.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case. I mean, if it's lame, then that's fine. I understand that.
Yeah.
I think this is cool. Kevin, you won't care, but Rolling Stone magazine is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. And they're putting out, and I think this is unbelievable technology that they have now. They're going to put out every single issue of 40 years of Rolling Stone on DVD. For about $100, you can have everything that has ever appeared, cover to cover, all of the pictures, all of the articles, all of the interviews from 40 years on DVD for about $100. That's going to be available this fall.
Who's got time for that, dude?
I don't know, but it's amazing.
It is amazing, but I mean, let's say you're a Nine Inch Nails fan, for instance. I mean, that's a band that's been covered for 20 years or something in Rolling Stone magazine. You can have every interview, every photo, every, you know, just it's a tremendous resource. It's like having an encyclopedia of rock and roll music at your fingertips.
Hey, you want to see a movie? No, not right now. I'm up to 1981.
I think that is a real cool item. A lot of hotties on the TV tonight. I think I'm going to try to get Ralph to start a new feature where he tips us off to what actresses are going to be on the late night TV shows, because this is how I set up my TiVo at night. The last thing I do before I go to bed is check all the late night shows to see which hotties are appearing so I know which ones I need to tape.
And now TV Heat.
TV Heat. I like it. For instance, maybe you're interested in Miss Jessica Biel on the Letterman show tonight. Maybe that's something that sounds good to you.
That's all good.
Perhaps Sienna Miller is more to your liking. You can catch her on the Conan O'Brien show tonight.
Yeah.
How about That 70 Show and the new October Roads, Laura Prepon? Very attractive. She's on with Craig Ferguson tonight. What if I were to say my girlfriend from Access Hollywood, actress model Maria Menounos, is on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, for instance, tonight?
All
how
good
about
so
that?
Far.
And she can't, unfortunately, give her a bell until the fall, but Hayden Panettiere from Heroes makes an appearance on the Jay Leno show tonight. And
That's tough.
I know. It is tough.
On one hand, you got Jay Leno.
Right.
And on the other hand, you got Hayden Panettiere.
Good point.
But, by the way, OK Go, musical guest, also on the Jay Leno show tonight. And it extends to the weekend. Kevin, I know that for the first time this century, you'll be watching Saturday Night Live as Scarlett Johansson is the host.
Yeah.
I know how you feel about her.
That's good, it turns out.
And for me, the musical guest is Bjork. So a little something for both of us.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Bjork absolutely. Or Scarlett Johansson? I'm sorry.
Either one. Okay. But Bjork is going to be on as a musical guest this weekend, and she'll be joining us next week on the Kevin and Bean Show ahead of her appearance at the Coachella Festival, too.
Fantastic. We have the creators of the best TV shows in the world coming up next here on the World Famous K-Rock. From The Surreal Life to My Favorite Brady to Flavor of Love to I Love New York. It's the best producing team ever coming up next. First, the celebrity showbiz. Birthdays. Sorry. I'm thrown off now.
You want to take that again?
And now the celebrity birthdays.
How about Jessica Leigh? Oscar-winning actress. Looks great at 60 years old today. Carmen Electra is 35. Oh. Andy Serkis.
He was Gollum for Carmen Electra?
He was Gollum from the Lord of the Rings movies. Also Crispin Glover. They're both 43 years old today. Joey Lawrence from Blossom, 31 today. Soul legend Isaac Hayes, 65. And from Heroes, and of course before that, Mr. Sulu on TV Star Trek. Actor George Takei turned 67. That is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Must be 420 for playing that song. Afro Man on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Or we're just sort of priming the pump a little bit for the Weenie Roast announcement. You never can tell, Kevin. Come on, don't count out the Afro Man. All right, it's 9:08. It's Friday. We want to welcome to the studio for the first time, guys, our personal lords and savior. They really are our heroes. In fact, Mark Cronin and Chris Abrego joining us here in the studios of K-Rock. They had to be so proud to get the big ink in the LA Times last week and have the headline be "The Kings of Dubious Television." Yeah. That's got to make you feel good about what you do for a living, doesn't it?
Yeah, we had to go look that up, actually, exactly. And it turns out it means of questionable integrity. So.
Yes. You guys do all of our favorite shows.
Oh, thank you very
much. It's unbelievable how many of these, from The Surreal Life to Flavor of Love, all these are yours.
They're guilty pleasures, every one of them.
Yeah. We really kind of tapped into America's guilty pleasure.
Totally.
Vein.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
So it's because of you, basically, that VH1 had to get a new channel so that they could play some music programming, right? Because you filled them up wall to wall with reality shows, right?
Well, you know, what they were doing originally, obviously they were doing the videos, and then they decided that they want to kind of own pop culture, and there were a lot of channels out there trying to do that. E! Was trying to do that, and some others. And they started with kind of low-cost programming of talking heads doing clip shows, and I Love the 90s, and that kind of stuff. And that had started before we got there. But the big move was that they and you know, Brian Graydon at MTV Networks saw the value of a canceled show from the WB. The Story Life was on the WB originally.
And they canceled it.
And they canceled
it. The first two seasons were on the WB.
That's right.
And they picked it up. And to pick up a canceled show from a little network like that is really a gutsy move because, you know, it's an expensive show.
That doesn't ever happen, does it?
It's
a canceled show. Very rarely.
And going from network to cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they picked it up, and it ended up being kind of the perfect voice for them because it's nostalgic and it's pop culture, yet
right.
it's completely outrageous and ridiculous.
The first VH1 season was the Vern Troyer.
China Doll,
and that season.
Oh, yeah.
Did they do anything different with it? Did they push it any further?
No, we actually came and we thought they would want to make it an all music cast, and we said, you know, we can make it an all music cast because you're VH1, you're music, right? And they said, nope, don't do anything. Please just do the show exactly the way you
did. Now, this is the show that you guys had been doing on the WB or somebody else?
No, we created originally created it. It actually was, if you remember way back, there was a, I think it was a Rice Aroni or Stovetop. It was a Stovetop commercial where. Actually, Sally just Raphael was cooking in the kitchen. George Hamilton and Mr. T were playing a video game in the living room.
That's right. Calling
them for dinner. We kind of saw that.
I don't remember that at all.
We saw that and said, "Wow, how crazy would it be if they actually did live together?"
Now, I must say, legally, we don't owe stuffing any money.
Any money.
let me ask you this though about those celebrities, and you always come up with a fantastic mix of people who have no business ever meeting, much less living together in a house for a television show. Are they offended when you contact them? Do they look at it as, like, this is the end of the road for me? Or do they look at it as, hey, this is a chance to kind of get back in the public eye and really make something myself?
Yes, there's nobody who's ever done this in real life who didn't pass at first.
Really?
Who we wanted to book. We only book the people who don't want to do the show.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
And then you ask them, and that's an insult. And then they say, well, all right, how much does it pay?
Well, because it confirms there has been status, which, of course, they've probably been denying their whole life.
We don't say has been around our company.
I'm sure you don't.
That's a word we don't like to use.
We say pop culture icon.
Pop culture icon.
Yes.
So if you could,
nice.
Thank you, Lisa.
Please.
But what I love most about The Surreal Life, and we have so many shows we want to talk about, but what I love about The Surreal Life is that the people in the house, the has-beens, have no idea who else is going to be in the house. And what's great is these people who think they're stars walk into a room and none of the other housemates have any idea who they are.
That's
and then
best.
They have to say, no, I was the guy who sang that song. I was the guy who was in that movie. That just cracks me up.
I think what it is is that we did the Us Magazine trick of celebrities are just like us. They're incredibly insecure and they crack bad jokes and they
by the way they're way
and...
more insecure than us.
I mean
that's what worked. That's what makes the shows so brilliant. So you got The Surreal Life, you got The Surreal Life Fame Games, you got My Fair Brady. Tell me about Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love.
How did you get hooked up with Flavor Flav?
Well, I'll tell you a short story.
Right.
You know, we did Flavor of on Surreal Life, which was great, and he started that relationship, which, to answer the question,
with Brigitte,
is absolutely real. We did Strange Love after that. The truth is,
that's right.
After we were editing Surreal Life, and we were watching this relationship develop, and we walked into VH1, we took a picture of Flav and Brigitte that we just had. We put them on top of a wedding cake, walked it into VH1, said, "This is the next series." and to Jeff Old's credit at VH1, he said, "Absolutely."
Did he know who Flavor Flav was?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine two less stable people, less reliable people in terms of getting them together to be there for a TV show.
Yeah,
that had to be a
hit
huge
TV
worry.
Show.
A hit a huge hit TV show.
They're so freaky.
And what to you know, I get the question all the time, but it was an absolutely real relationship for Flav, more so than Brigitte, probably.
Right. Yeah.
And then so when that ended, you know, Flav was in our office and we were talking.
She broke his heart.
That's the truth. It is real.
Bitch.
Like the, and this is part of what makes Flav so great because he does have such a huge heart. But he's in the office and just kind of the relationship had ended. And I was talking to him. I said, "Hey, well, what's next for you?" And he's like, "I don't know. I'm not sure." I said, "Have you ever seen that show, The Bachelor?" He's like, "Yeah, not really." I said, "Well, you want a new girlfriend?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what if you looked for one on TV?" He goes, "Well, what if I got you like 10, 20 girls?" And he's like, "Oh, come on, Chris. You know they would never pick me." I was like, "No, you would do the picking." He's like, "Word."
Word.
I was like, "Yeah."
And the Bachelor was born.
That's right. I must say, legally, we don't owe the Bachelor any money.
Oh, for God's sake.
Certainly not.
Now, right. So you talked him into doing the second season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's out?
Well, it wasn't hard to talk a guy into living in a house with 20 girls that he's going to
I know, but
take out the
is he really not doing it anymore? Or do you guys just move
no,
on?
No.
Actually, we expect to be doing another version of
it. Another version. Best news ever.
Absolutely.
He hasn't found true love yet? Is that what you're saying?
I know it's hard to believe.
Oh, in life. Listen, Flav isn't... why that show worked so well, it's for two reasons. One, Flav dates all types of women, so it allowed us as reality producers to cast various all shapes,
sizes,
colors.
He's very open-minded.
He's open to everything, like, which is great.
That's good, yeah.
Or maybe he's just grateful to have a woman.
Yeah. And you understand, guys, that he's somebody's grandfather, right?
Yeah,
that Flav of Flav that we all know and love is somebody's grandfather, and he's on doing this shenanigans.
Two grandkids, actually, and he's a great father. He actually – no, he's 48 years old, and the guy – you know, sometimes we shoot that show till 4 in the morning, and that guy will not sit down. He
really?
Can't sit still. I mean, and he eats – like he's got the worst diet in the world, and
excellent.
He weighs 100 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like but
now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, the Flavor of Love Girls, which is the new show, Charm School. Who was the chick that pooped?
She's not on that show.
I know, and
she's
I'm
who needs to be in Charm School more than her?
Yeah. You know,
she turned
you down? That incident was a bit of a disaster for us. And for
disaster?
It's a disaster for America,
yeah.
You guys.
That
really
was the best moment of TV ever.
I know. Listen, you, I agree, but it was such a big incident in the house. It was impossible to ignore, but there's no question that TV executives all over America actually would look at that and say, oh, my, we don't want to be that
show. We don't want to be that show. Now, you got the Charm School, and the first thing that Monique, your host, says is this.
There's seven bathrooms in this house. Don't nobody on my floor.
Now, you shouldn't have to say that when you're when you're running a Charm School.
I mean, unless you're running Westminster, unless you got the dog show. But other than that, guys, were there really meetings? And you guys have had a lot of crazy meetings with a lot of people in your careers. But were there meetings where you were in with the big brass of VH1 having a discussion about how much of that you could air on television?
I think it's a constant debate. We get standards and practices notes on every episode that are actually so funny that we put them up on our wall proudly. We do push the envelope a little bit on our shows, and VH1 I think actually has been very brave in letting us air what we've
TV
I think
ever.
So too.
Yes,
yeah.
There's two more clips that I want to play. One is Monique talking to the girls about how their nicknames are very, very negative and they need to change those and just come out with their real names.
Safari, that represented something ugly. What is your real name, baby?
Safari.
Your real name is Safari.
That's her real name. So she didn't even have time to get a nickname.
She got kicked out within. They were in that fight over a bed on Flavor of Love 2 within 5 minutes of walking in.
Actually, the funny story of that is that right before we let them in, we stopped the cameras down, and Mark actually went out to them and said, because this was the second season,
right?
And everybody was we knew they were all hopped up, ready to go. They'd watched the first season, all the fighting. So Mark said, girls, I know you guys watched the first season. Do not come in this house and fight. Do not come in here and think this is what we're looking for.
Maybe
everybody clear
somebody
on the
besides Mark should have said that.
Were you like winking the whole time?
No, we really don't.
Really,
we were scared.
Don't fight.
We were really scared. They would walk in and start pulling each other's hair and kicking each other because, you know, we really do have to throw people out for physical violence.
Within 5 minutes, there was they were on their backs and they were kicking and punching.
Yes.
Yep.
Guys, what kind of, if you're just joining us, Mark Cronin and Chris Abrego are in our studio. They are the kings of dubious TV, says LA Times. And we're talking about just their latest Charm School, which airs Sunday nights on VH1. I'm sure you get a tremendous amount of reaction, particularly from quote-unquote African-American leaders that despise the representation of the women on the show that you pick. What kind of stories do you have on that, or what do you say to them, or what's your comment on that?
You know, as Chris said, when we started the project Flavor of Love, we started with Flavor Flav, who had already been on two of our shows, and we just loved him as a character. And the fact that he was so open-minded about who he would date allowed us to do a show that was very different than The Bachelor, which really is kind of very, you know, I don't know, it looks very vanilla to me.
Yeah.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And it smacks of some tokenism, too, in the way they cast. And we were able to cast across all racial backgrounds, across all ages, sizes, everything. We were able to put together a group of women that you usually have never seen together.
Do you constantly
really
have to fight?
Really, that no race wants.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you constantly have to fight the... Oh, that person is black, so that means you guys are trying to make all black people look bad?
Don't constantly have to fight it, but it is a new thing. The popularity of the shows has led to certain people to latch onto them and say that there might be something wrong in the messaging there. And honestly, that's kind of what Charm School is. Charm School is kind of an answer to that. It's can we take these women who aren't behaving very well, and they don't have, seem to have a lot of self-confidence or whatever it is, and can we take them to a better place? And it really is, I mean, although it is an outrageous and ridiculously funny show, it is without, I'm not lying when I say it is a very cool transformation that the girls go through over the course of the season.
Ironically enough, we do get, like you said, a lot of criticisms from the black leaders, but at the same time, it is the number one across the board, across television board for African Americans in television.
Well, how about that?
From what I know of reading publicity on this show, Monique really seems to take it seriously. She seems to be one of those people who says, don't be that kind of person. Don't represent us that way. You have to learn how to speak, and you have to learn how to have manners. And she seems like she's coming from a serious place on the show.
It's such a serious place that the truth is, that first day when she comes out on the porch and gives in that statement, it actually shut down the show. The girls did start crying. Mark and I look at each other like, all right, show's over.
Really?
It's like, well, because the girls got so scared, it's like, well, wait a minute. They're afraid to open their mouths. They're afraid to say anything. Like,
right.
Monique came down and hard on them. Like, I'm not playing. And so we're like, well, everything that makes the show great, the fun stuff, you know, we wanted to see them change over the course of a few weeks. But they got so scared, so slapped in the hand by Monique that it was like, we're like, all right, it's a wrap.
Thank God it continued through the 2 mile hike so that we could hear this TV.
Because my heart's about to fall off, it hurts, and I can't take that pain medicine on no food, and no one's listening to me, and I can't scream, and I can't yell, and I can't do anything. That's me! It's like I'm being punished! I don't deserve this!
Oh, man, is that sweet TV.
She's going to die if she can't scream or yell.
That's sweet.
I'm going to say there's proud of how the music amps that drama up.
Yeah, sure.
Very much so.
There has to be, you know, we have Mark Burnett on the show all the time, who's, you know, kind of the granddaddy of this new genre of reality TV with Survivor and all of his other shows. And he says, you know, it's 99% of those shows is in the casting. And when you start rolling and you start to see the people and the personalities and the way they're going to be, it's got to be high fives in the trailer. You got to just be like, yes, we got it.
Yes. Absolutely. And the amount of information we have on the people that we put in the house is really not that much. Like we've only seen them on a casting tape for a few minutes and had to judge really how they're going to behave with other people, how they're going to behave when really there are cameras on them, which tends to shut down some people. And we are always terrified on that first day of what are we getting?
Course.
What have we just put together? And so far, every time we've put together an amazing
you guys have
soup.
The eye for the best talent in Hollywood.
Yeah, let me ask you one more question, because unfortunately we are out of time. How much of New York's act is for real? How much is she knows that's what makes her famous and that's what makes people love / hate her, and how much is the real New York?
The absolute honest answer is I can't tell. I have no idea.
Yeah,
it's like sometimes I think it's the truth is the first time we had her on Flavor Love One, we couldn't believe it. We're like, this is the act. She's fooling us. Whatever, we're gonna run with it. And then we met her mom. We're like, okay, now it makes sense.
Her mom is crazy.
Now it makes sense.
I believe she's in the moment. I believe that when she's looking at, when she's looking at Flavor Flav and she's looking him in the eye and she's telling him that she's into him, I actually think she is. I think she lives moment to moment. And when she's looking at you, she's in love, much like Flav.
Yes.
I think when I saw the tease for the upcoming season of Charm School and I saw her, New York, that's going to be on this show as well, I wanted to hug you both. I just want to tell you that.
No, you are doing the Lord's work. You're going to hell and you're taking us with you. And that's what we love about the kind of shows you do. Charm School airs Sunday nights. I think it's at, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
Right?
10 o'clock.
This Sunday.
And it's the best. Mark Cronin and Chris Abrego doing the Lord's work out there. Thank you so much for coming in on K-Rock today,
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. It's 420. It's Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. As usual, just for getting on the air, you get a prize.
I like that song from Dash Rip Rock, by the way, to be the new national anthem of the United States. How awesome would it be to go to a ball game? Now let's rise for our national anthem. They got the Marine Corps band comes out and plays Let's Get Some Pot. That'd be awesome. All right, great prize for today. A pair of Park Hopper tickets to Disneyland, including an exclusive K-Rock morning experience. You can join K-Rock an hour prior to the Disneyland Park opening on the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction and the soon-to-open all-new Pirates Lair on Tom Sawyer Island. This will happen on June the 30th. You know, it's a pirate's life for you during a year of a million dreams, Kevin, at the Disneyland Resort.
All right, Jim in Bellflower, good morning.
What it do, nephews and baby boos?
What it do?
What's going on?
Well, I was at the Ducks game yesterday. Yes, they won 4-1.
So and the Ducks are moving on to the second round, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And guess who was there?
Timu Solani?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg?
No.
Look, just because you saw a black guy in the crowd doesn't mean it had to be Snoop Dogg.
No, it was Snoop Dogg. He took his son. I guess his son's a big Ducks fan, and I guess he was wearing like a Ducks jersey, and it said Snoop on the back of his jersey and stuff.
Of course it did.
Nice. Nice. He can't really hide anymore, can he?
No.
Like, he's not trying, apparently, but he can't. Anyway.
Don't they take away his hood cred, though, if he shows up at the hockey game? I mean, seriously, hasn't he just sold out to Whitey if he's going to a Ducks game?
I don't think you can take away Snoop's cred. I think
no,
he's
probably not.
Got it forever. Yeah. Somehow. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris in Chatsworth. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey. Chris. Happy 420.
We're doing pretty good. How's it going? How's it going, man?
Everything's good. How you guys doing?
Really good.
Yeah. What have you been doing with your morning, dude? How you been celebrating?
I woke up at 6, decided to ditch school for like 5 hours, and now I'm going to school.
Oh, really?
You're going to school now.
Well, that'll
you
be
should,
good.
You should learn a lot today, man. You sound like you're primed and ready to learn.
I know. I'm excited. Just wanted to say love you guys. I've been listening for a long time. It's cool to get through and say what's up.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. All Happy right. 420 to you as well.
Hit it again before you go to school. Okay. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Michael. The happiest day of my life.
Really?
Okay, how come?
I'm getting married in about 30 minutes, and the best thing about this is not that. The best thing is that my fiancé's a virgin.
Okay. Okay.
And you are thrilled.
You're getting married in 30 minutes, yet you're calling the Kevin and Bean Show? What's
yes,
up with that?
I am. Yes, I am.
Wow. Your fiance must be proud.
She just called on the other line. I told her, I'm on the other line right now.
I'm on like, with Kevin and Bean.
Oh, we're supposed to get married in a half hour. Hey, are you at the place where you're getting married right now, or do you still have to go there?
I'm on the freeway right now, heading to Fontana right now.
Excellent.
Hey, how long have you guys been dating?
I waited a year and 4 months for this day.
Wow.
Wow. Dude.
It's so going to be not what you're thinking.
What Lisa means.
I don't know.
What Lisa means is it's so going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So.
Thank you, Michael, for the call.
For you.
All right. Let's go to Nick in Thousand Oaks. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yo, good morning, baby boo.
Hey, Nick.
What'd it do?
Hey, what's up, guys? All right, so I was out in Simi Valley, needed a haircut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pull into a fantastic Sam's.
Uh-oh.
Sit down in the chair, big fat guy. He's like, hey, do you listen to K-Rock? I was like, yeah.
Here we go.
I'm Sam, the Armenian comedian. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. I said, I want her to cut my hair.
Nice. Good call.
Cut my hair, and then I'm being his sister.
What?
Yes, his sister and Sam, the Armenian comedian, are in Simi Valley, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Really his sister or just a... Really?
Yeah, really.
I didn't know he had a sister here.
He's a family. He's like, yeah.
Oh,
like, his
no.
His sister was really cool and nice.
No?
She's got to be a good-looking woman, too, if she comes from that same gene pool, right?
Oh, she's going to be a handsome woman.
So much.
Wow, Nick, that's scary. You almost died right there.
Yeah, I avoided it, man. I doubted the bully. Looking
All
at
right.
Me.
Thanks for the call.
He says
I spent the afternoon making a list of famous Armenians. Eric Bogosian, Andre Agassi, Jerry the Shark Tarkanian. That is all.
Ricky in Van Nuys. Good morning.
What it do? Happy 420, man.
What Thanks, it do, Ricky. Ricky?
Hey, so on Monday, I was backing out of my parking spot on subway on Ventura and Coldwater Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I hit this guy, I hit this guy's car.
Backing out of here? Okay.
Uh-huh. And I started to notice that this guy looked familiar, right? It was William Shatner.
Oh, dude, you don't run into the captain's car? What's wrong with you?
He was parked where he wasn't supposed to be parked. No, hold on. The best part is he kicks my car.
Nice!
He's furious, redheaded. And, like, I try to, like, park and, like, go near him. And he's like, oh, I try to keep my car in mint condition, whatever. And...
I try to keep my car in mint condition, whatever.
And I think you mean he might have been red-faced. I doubt he was suddenly redheaded.
Hold on. He lets me go. He said he'll take care of it.
You really? You mean he didn't take your insurance information?
No. Nah.
Are you calling from the sewer?
Are you in the bathroom?
What's going on here, Ricky?
You're at work?
Yeah.
In the bathroom at work?
I know, the stairwell.
Yeah. Are you a coal miner?
Stairwell.
Ricky, I don't know why. I mean, of course, you're happy because you don't have to get your insurance involved. But, I mean, I would be weeping if I backed into William Shatner's car. That great man, a moment's harm.
But he was cool about it. First, he kicked your car, which first of all, is awesome.
Yeah.
And you deserved.
Because the captain kicked your car. And then second of all, he let you go. How about that?
And
all
right. He looked at Ricky and he knew it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. He tried to have a conversation with Ricky like we did. That's the problem. All right. I don't ever do bad things to Bill Shatner because he's my hero. I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, and we had a lot of them. How about the lovely Kate Beckinsale? Her new film, in which she stars with Luke Wilson, is called Vacancy. That one opens up everywhere today. Or, if that's not to your liking, may we recommend a little movie called Hot Fuzz. Mr. Movie Phone gave it the great review today on Movie Beat. Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost, all from that film, for joining us today. How about Dave Duchovny? His movie also in theaters today.
Today?
Uh-huh, today.
And it's called The TV Set. Next week, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. Next week, Bjork. Next week, Tori Amos. And Monday, we have Minnie Driver and more Coachella tickets for you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one. Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Sounds like someone's trying to keep me off the air today. What's going on with that, you guys?
Rightfully so.
Cat Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Modest Mouse, also Nirvana, 30 Seconds to Mars, The Killers, Linkin Park, and more. Have a great weekend and happy 420.
Roll, roll,
roll,
roll another one.
Marijuana is delicious.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about
to quit.
I don't have.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
God, that was bad, right?
It wasn't great.
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
I really don't want to talk about it. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to comment on what happened. It sucked.
It started a little rough for me. It got better towards the end. I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down about it. It was just kind of all right for me, man. I don't know. I wasn't really... You didn't really grab me with that.
All right, stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.